It's Friday!
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. All right, here we go. The final broadcast from the Horn on the Road. This is the final broadcast from Northwest Alabama. I'm back on the road to home in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion as soon as I figure out what the hell's wrong with why we can't stream from there. But I won't know that until I get back to almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia Stan. But I'm eager to get back. I miss my family. I miss them deeply. It's been a couple of days of packing and vacuuming and sweeping and mopping and wiping down and wiping up and cleaning up because I want my deposit back. Hope I get it. But in landlord-tenant situations, there's always a reason to... No. But hopefully I will. It's Friday on the front porch for this 24th day of January 2020. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky are there. They'll be happy to greet you if you pick out a screen name and a password and jump in. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, still has chosen not to fold space today. Apparently too cold to fold space in Northern California. And he will be ably assisted by midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Yes. So, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and thanks go out to our subscribers for the 24th day of the month. The 24th day of the month subscribers are as follows: Samson and James and Pam in Washington State and Josh. Thank you to the four of you. Thank you very, very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and helping us to, well, keep this little effort in independent, non-commercial, non-capitalist broadcasting on the air. I'm trying to remember the fundraising goal. It says 560, and I'm going to trust the Brother Deacon on that, who lets me know that both streams are running nicely. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. So we got 560 to go this evening. That's this evening and yesterday, and $160 worth of Wednesday. Yes. All right. Thank you, Brother Deacon. So hopefully we'll get that knocked out. It would be great if we knocked all of it out because, well, frankly, most of it's probably going to go into buying a new desktop PC when I get back. Because that's why we're not streaming from the studio right now. Steve in New York says, let's kick it all off with a $25 challenge. Yay! Thank you, Steve. So Steve will double the first $25 that comes in. And hopefully that will happen rather quickly. And let's see, that'll take us down to 510. And that will be a dandy good start. So thank you, Steve, in New York. Thank you very, very kindly. A reminder, we'll get started on the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in fairly short order. If you'd like to participate, there's a great big honking unmistakable banner at the top of headon.live. And you click on that, and it'll carry you straight into the Skype group, the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that we gather around every Friday evening in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Yes. I hate this camera angle, but it's a cord thing, and it works. It's just a really rotten angle. But if you want to participate, go ahead, jump into the group. Hopefully we won't have as much trouble staying connected to the group as we did last week. I don't know why that was. But, you know, you'll have that kind of thing from time to time. And we'll get the conversation started probably earlier this evening than usual, simply because there's so damn much to talk about. We've had a week of the impeachment hearings. They are still ongoing. And I'll be interested to hear everybody's thoughts on it. Thank you to Ralphs. Ralphs getting started on Steve's challenge. There's only $15 on Steve's challenge now remaining. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you a ton. And a reminder, if you cannot handle or manage Skype, if Skype just doesn't work for you, there's also the stress line, and that is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, and there's room for one person over there. I don't know. Conferencing might even – no, I don't think I – no, let's not even try that. I'll make some sort of a disaster of it without a doubt. You know, it's interesting. Shortly before airtime, the House impeachment managers were talking about the Trump regime's refusal to honor or even participate in lawful requests for information from Congress. And it occurred to me to recall that, well, within the confines of this particular inquiry, everything focuses on Ukraine. But we need to understand that this has been SOP, standard operating procedure, for this gang of punks and thugs since January the 20th, 2017. And I have a certain amount of particularized knowledge of it. And what I mean by that is, well, you remember, it was a while back. Gosh, I think it was, what, August of 2017? Maybe September? No, I'm pretty sure it was August 2017. And there's a bit of a story behind this, so bear with me. But in the waning year, the final year of the Obama administration, based upon a request from the Director of Public Health of the state of West Virginia, transmitted to the Obama administration, the Obama Department of the Interior, via the governor of the state of West Virginia, who at that time was a fellow that we referred to as GERT, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, the Obama administration awarded a $1 million grant to the National Academy of Science. And the purpose of the $1 million grant was to review the peer-reviewed, published science in regard to the health impacts of mountaintop removal on the communities around which it was practiced, has been practiced. And about half of the $1 million had been spent in, gosh, maybe May, June, July of that year. I had traveled to Washington, D.C. to be present for a public forum on the ongoing review of the research. And it became rather obvious that things were not looking good for big coal in terms of finding that the science was valid. And I remember watching coal industry hacks and flacks, like the busy little termites that they are, leaving and returning to the room and standing in corners and on their cell phones. And so lo and behold, and I think it was August of that year, 2017, we woke up to the stunning news that the review of the health-related data had mysteriously been canceled, just like an underperforming TV show. Now, of course, there was a bullshit excuse promulgated by the Trump regime. The Department of Interior claimed that they were temporarily suspending the review so that they could make sure that the taxpayers' dollars were being used appropriately. Yes. And that it was any grants, not just this grant, it was any grant over $1 million. Well, thanks to the intrepid work of MacArthur Genius Grant recipient Ken Ward down at what was then the Charleston Gazette, Gazette Mail, he dug around and he found out that, lo and behold, the only grant that was affected by that pause, that suspension, was the one related to the health impacts of mountaintop removal on surrounding communities. This, in turn, got folks like Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona rather upset, and he got involved. And he began writing letters to the Department of Interior demanding an explanation for the suspension of the review. And this brings me back around to what I was saying about this has been SOP for this gang of thugs and grifters and crooks from jump. Because rather than respond appropriately to a legitimate congressional oversight request, they just clammed up. They just ignored the ranking member of the House Committee on Natural Resources. Well, Representative Grijalva is now the chairman of House Natural Resources since the blue wave of 2018. And he still hasn't heard a peep. The administration has been as silent as a graven image and acted as though Congress has no legitimate role to play in keeping an eye on, well, the law-abidingness or not of various federal agencies. So I merely bring that story to light as a reminder that what we're talking about in these impeachment proceedings is not in any wise a one-off. This isn't just something that happened in regard to Ukraine. This is the standard operating procedure of this criminal regime. It is how they do, if we dare call it, business. It's who they are. And I think it's valuable to bear that in mind because it adds to the great weight of evidence of this particular attempt at a president's ongoing behavior. And by the way, where it had been described as a suspension, the other thing Representative Grijalva has not been able to find out is, hey, where'd the money go? Because there was north of $500,000 left in the grant that had not yet been encumbered in any way, and it just disappeared. I don't know. Maybe it went to pay for some of those stupid steel slats in his stupid fucking wall. But eventually, they just said, nah, it's canceled. We were only kidding. We never suspended it. We never paused it. We wanted to kill it because it was bad for the coal industry. And the coal industry, well, they own part of us. So just remember, this, it's not just this criminal enterprise. The entire presidency of Donald J. Trump is an ongoing, rolling criminal enterprise. Okay? And hey, I can happily announce that thanks to Dave and thanks to Ralph's, Steve in New York's challenge has been met. So that takes and plus another $10. That takes us down to $500 even to finish the week. That means we've knocked out half of Wednesday, and now all we've got is Thursday and Friday to deal with. So thank you very kindly to Dave, and thank you very kindly to Ralphs, and thank you to Steve for the challenge. So onward from 500. Yes. Now, I'm keeping an eye on the proceedings in the Senate as we go. Val Demings of Florida is speaking again. We can check in for a moment if we would like.
Army officer for more than 20 years. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman earned a Purple Heart for wounds he sustained in an improvised explosive attack or device in Iraq. President Trump's campaign of witness intimidation is reprehensible, debases the presidency, and was part of his effort to obstruct the impeachment inquiry. The fact that it is the president of the United States making these threats tells us something. It tells us that the president desperately wanted to keep witnesses from testifying and thus further obstruct Congress's inquiry. Senators, we cannot and we must not condone President Trump's attacks on whistleblowers and witnesses, people who truly have the ability to put our country first.
She has been spectacular throughout all of these proceedings. The whole House team has. Adam Schiff has been masterful, and so has Jerry Nadler, and he's coming to the podium now.
Now that we have carefully reviewed the facts and have described the president's categorical obstruction of Congress, we address questions of law. This discussion need not be abstract. The president's obstruction impacts the Senate directly. It impacts the constituents you represent. It impacts you. Because your job as a member of Congress is to hold the executive branch in check. This is true no matter who occupies the White House or which party controls the House or Senate. And the further the president, any president...
Just by way of observation, and I'm not trying... I want to point something out here that is more than a little worrisome. Since Representative Nadler says we're going to be discussing the law, here's a law: jury tampering, witness intimidation, obstruction of justice. Nancy Cordes is the chief congressional correspondent for CBS News. And she reported something fairly shocking today. And we're just going to go to the audio. Okay, not fairly shocking. Shocking. Disgusting. Or at least it would be if it didn't have the name Trump attached to it. Otherwise, but since it's got Trump attached to it, it's just something criminal that he did on a day that ends in Y.
Nora, the House impeachment managers spent today arguing that the president didn't just abuse his power to help his own reelection, but that he did it by employing a Russian narrative that his own aides had tried and failed to debunk.
Everyone else told the president time after time, this is nonsense.
The spotlight today was on President Trump's motives for pursuing two conspiracy theories, one about the 2016 election and one about Joe Biden.
The one person who told President Trump his theory is true, who was it? You know, it was our adversary, Russia.
And they argued that with Biden leading in the polls by last spring, Mr. Trump pressured Ukraine to launch what he hoped would be an embarrassing investigation.
No president has ever used his office to compel a foreign nation to help him cheat in our elections.
On the basis of this Russian propaganda, he withheld $400 million in military aid to a nation Russia was fighting, our ally.
The president defended himself once again today in a torrent of tweets. One Trump confidant tells CBS News that GOP senators have been warned, vote against the president and your head will be on a pike. So far.
Got that? Now, the way Nancy Cordes reports it, she says GOP senators have been warned. Those are jurors. So take this out of the Senate context and put it in any county courthouse in the United States. The defendant has warned jurors that if they vote against him, their heads will be on a pike. Jesus, that's frightening. Because that means if they go through with it and they do the bidding of their God Emperor, we really are done. The rule of law is done. The presidency, you know, I have referred to the presidency for a number of years now, for reasons that I have explained in the past. The president is an imperial administrator. And I think it's an accurate description. But if he is acquitted of these clear-cut, easily understood charges, if for no other reason than their fear of him, Republicans vote to acquit, then the president is no longer an imperial administrator. He's a straight up emperor. And from emperor to God emperor isn't that far of a leap, really. And he's already halfway there with the evangelicals anyway. Anointed by God, they say. Chosen by God, they say. Vote against the president and your head will be on a pike. Or in this case, as Brother Deacon Asa says, translated from its original Russian, their heads will be on polonium-tipped umbrellas. Yeah. Over at Market Watch, they described it as medieval. Hashtag head on a pike went to number two on the Twitter trending list. Meanwhile, old Balls and Strikes Roberts is also as silent as a graven image. We have a mob president. And if that was not proof enough, there's also the audio tape or the audio recording. I'm so old that I was in radio when we actually worked with tape and had things like razor blades and chop box and things like that. But yeah, the major media outlets, in this case, ABC News, has reviewed an audio recording in which at a dinner in 2018, where Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman and Rudy Giuliani and, of course, Nitwit Nero were present, Trump can be heard to say, speaking of Marie Yovanovitch, "Get rid of her. Get her out tomorrow. I don't care. Get her out tomorrow." And here's the operative word. Words. "Take her out. Okay? Do it." This is contemporaneous with the account we now know of Ambassador Yovanovitch having to be extracted from Ukraine in the dark and still of the night on a don't waste any time packing up, grab an overnight bag, get your toothbrush and get the fuck out basis. Because her life was at risk. Take her out. I don't know about you, but as Brother Deacon Asa said to me earlier today, take her out doesn't mean fire her. I don't know many situations in which, there are examples of this, of football coaches looking at football players and say, "Take him out." That doesn't mean tackle the person effectively each time the person touches the ball. That means get the person out of the game, injure them sufficiently that they are unable to further perform. And when the mob says, "Take him out," well, you wake up with a horse's head in your bed. Or get shot through your eyeglasses, into your brains. Jesus Christ. The Washington Post wrote, it corroborates an account of the evening by Lev Parnas, who told Trump that evening that Yovanovitch was working against him. "I do remember me telling the president the ambassador was bad-mouthing him and saying he was going to get impeached, something to that effect," and that's from Rachel Maddow's interview on MSNBC last week. Where did the recording come from? This is the interesting thing. Not Lev Parnas, but his buddy Igor Fruman, was the one who made the recording. And yet, Lev Parnas' lawyer, a Joseph A. Bondi, said, "Nope, we didn't leak it. Didn't come from me and it didn't come from my client." When reporters asked Jay Sekulow, the president's compromised pettifogging lawyer who is a witness to his own cause, about it, Sekulow, "I'm not concerned about that at all," which means that he's shitting his pants. Meanwhile, Mike Pencil Neck Geek, who's up to his pencil neck in all of this too, said, "It'll only confirm what people already know, is that the president had concerns and in his authority, this president made a decision." You know what? If the president in his authority makes a decision to have somebody murdered, that's still illegal. Or maybe it's not. He certainly, you know what? Time for that little reminder. that thanks to that nasty-ass piece of legal legerdemain known as the OLC memo, Donald Trump could order a mob-style hit on a United States ambassador and have it become public knowledge. And according to that goddamned OLC memo, he could not be touched by any law enforcement agency. Isn't that chilling? And remember, they wanted the person who most wanted Ambassador Yovanovitch out of office was one Yuri Lutsenko. And he was the crooked prosecutor who was offering to do some dirty business in exchange for doing things like getting rid of Ambassador Yovanovitch. In a message on WhatsApp, Lutsenko wrote to Lev Parnas on March 22nd, "It's just if you don't make decision about Madam, you're calling into question all my declarations, including about B." And whether B means Biden or Burisma, well, that part we don't know. Oh, and speaking of Bidens, lo and behold, I say it here, it comes out there. It was yesterday that I mentioned that Joe Biden should say, "I will be happy to testify," right after Donald Trump does. Come on, chicken shit, do it. Well, according to a piece in the Washington Post by George Conway, well, he's now saying that Trump should testify, needs to testify. And one of the more humorous notes is that Chuck Schumer, who I never think of as being particularly forceful or effective, Chuck Schumer has pointed out that, hey, they've proven they got 53 votes. They got 53 votes all day long and twice on Sunday, the Republican Senate does. That's two more votes than they need to subpoena Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. But they are scared water-boweled of doing that. And of course, Moscow Mitch doesn't want to because he's trying to get this over with as quickly as possible. The fix is in, babies. I mean, it just is. I had a note. Kickass. Darlene in Connecticut says, "Kickass, Val. Jerry Big Nads plays the bad guy, and Schiff is playing the good guy in the bad guy, good guy routine. Bad cop, good cop that the Dems have got going for their case. Lindsey Graham Cracker keeps wanting to put Joe and his son Hunter on trial. He said it just kills him to do that to Joe Biden, and he loves Joe Biden," to coin a phrase by John Bridavo. You shitting me? "These Republicans are not going to remove that MF-er from the White House. Lindsey's now crying that there's a double standard and that Republicans are getting the short end of the stick in that battle. Is that hilarious or what? The Republicans are now using our truthful observations, experiences, and arguments against them, against us." Oh, yeah, I heard that earlier today. Lindsey went running for a microphone to say, oh, my gracious sakes, my goodness, my stars and garters. If this was about a child of that saintly man, Dick Cheney, getting a job in Ukraine, Adam Schiff would be having investigations all over the place, but not Joe Biden. Never mind the fact that, there's the whole Dick Cheney, Kellogg burning loot, the overarching, you know, the people who made all the Halliburton, you know. Remember the famous Doonesbury panel from the beginning of the Iraq War, where the soldier's standing in line at the chow hall, and he says, "I'll have a Halliburger with cheese," and the person behind the steam table says, "That'll be $29.17 or something like that." Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we got past it all, and we said it's time. We got to look forward and not back. And we're paying a little price for that now. Heads on a pike, Flavio reminds us that's what Vlad Tepes, also known as Vlad the Impaler, also known as Dracula, did to his opponents in medieval Romania. Well, mostly he did it to Muslim invaders because he had been held as a good faith hostage there as a young man, and he despised them. Long time back. Lee in New York, head on a pike. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Dim leader could not tell the difference between Captain Christopher Pike, not a good captain, and a pike that has a head on it. I knew somebody'd make a Christopher Pike reference. Beep, beep, beep. Ron in Raleigh. Hey, Bob. Subject line, Emperor. He is the Kwisatz Haderach. Well, maybe the Kwisatz Derperach, but, you know, that ain't exactly the weirding module he's using with his voice. Ron pointing out, by the way, once again, you have taken our Republican friends out of context. Take her out meant was to take her out to a nice dinner before she comes home. That we have the materials meant they have the exculpatory evidence. Not that they've hidden the evidence. Right. Of course. Billable Rick asking, has Trump become Vlad the Impaler? I'm unfortunately not surprised to hear that Trump has threatened to put the head of any GOP senator who votes against the president on a pike. Based on that statement, Trump has clearly gone medieval and he will be emperor for life if he somehow wins the next election. Sadly, the idea of witness tampering, which would apply in any normal civil or criminal trial, doesn't apply to this sham impeachment trial. If this were a real trial, the jurors wouldn't be permitted to talk amongst themselves about the case or to give press interviews during breaks, and we certainly can't count on old Balls and Strikes Roberts to do anything to enforce any rules in this trial, whether it be witness tampering or lies that Trump's counsel may tell the Senate in violation of ABA Rule 3.3. FYI, if Steve and Karen's dog Cletus can dig up bones to donate to the horn, why can't Joe's pet giraffe Jeffrey reach into the stratosphere to give some lettuce to the show? Just asking this question for a friend. Oh, yeah, you mean Giraffrey? I got a lovely picture of Giraffrey earlier today. See you on the porch, says Billable Rick. See you there, buddy. Yeah, Rick notes, I'm trying to listen to your show into the impeachment trial simultaneously, but it's real tough to divide my attention that way and a difficult choice to make, so I've decided to instead listen to your show as it's more entertaining. I can always catch the trial highlights on CNN. You have chosen wisely. Marsha, 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 says David in South Carolina, Stan. What the fuck, Marsha? Yeah, Steve in New York gave her a new name earlier today. What was it? Let me check here. I want to get this right because it was funny. Marsha Talla Blackburn. Yeah, that works. Marsha Talla Blackburn. Take her out. Nah, he was just, he loves baseball, Trump. To take her out to the ball game. Right. Okay. Let's go back to see what's going on with Representative Nadler.
That President Washington provided with sensitive diplomatic materials relating to the hugely unpopular Jay Treaty with Great Britain. President Washington declined. Since this request intruded upon his executive functions. But Washington agreed that impeachment would change his calculus. In the ensuing debates, it was noted on the House floor that Washington had admitted, quote, that where the House expresses an intention to impeach, the right to demand from the executive all papers and information in his possession belongs to it. All papers and information. This was only the first of many references to that point in our constitutional tradition. For example, less than 40 years later, in 1833, Justice Joseph Story remarked upon the dangers of presidential obstruction. He wrote, "The power of impeachment will generally be applied to persons holding high offices under the government, and it is of great consequence that the president should not have the power of preventing a thorough investigation of their own conduct." Consistent with this teaching, President Polk later offered his clear and insightful explanation of why presidents must honor all impeachment subpoenas. As I mentioned just a moment ago, he said, and I quote, "It may be alleged that the power of impeachment belongs to the House of Representatives and that with a view to the exercise of this power, that House has the right to investigate the conduct of all public officers under the government. This is cheerfully admitted." Decades later, during our first presidential impeachment inquiry, President Andrew Johnson recognized Congress's power to thoroughly investigate him and his executive branch.
I love history, don't you?
In 1867, for example, the House Judiciary Committee obtained executive and presidential records. The committee interviewed cabinet officers and presidential aides about cabinet meetings and private conversations with the president by his top aides and cabinet officials. And multiple witnesses, moreover, answered questions about the opinions of the president, statements made by the president, and advice given to the president. There is no evidence that Johnson ever asserted any privilege to prevent disclosure of presidential conversations to the committee or failed to comply with any of the committee's requests. Thus, in the first 80 years of the Republic, Presidents Washington, Polk, and Johnson, along with members and committees of the House and a Supreme Court justice, all recognize that Congress is authorized by the Constitution to investigate for impeachment and that presidents are obligated to give all information requested. President Trump's attempt to stonewall Congress would have shocked those presidents. With only a few exceptions, invocations of the impeachment power subsided from 1868 to 1972. Yet even in that period, while objecting to ordinary legislative oversight, Presidents Ulysses Grant, Grover Cleveland, and Theodore Roosevelt each noted that Congress could obtain key executive branch documents in an impeachment inquiry. They thus confirmed yet again that impeachment is different. Under the Constitution, it requires full compliance. Then came Watergate, when President Nixon abused the powers of his office to undermine his political opponents. But even Nixon understood that he must comply with subpoenas for information relating to his misconduct. Thus, he stated in March 1973 regarding the Senate's Watergate investigation, and I quote, "All members of the White House staff will appear voluntarily when requested by the committee. They will testify under oath and they will answer fully all questions." As a result, many senior White House officials testified, including White House Counsel John Dean, White House Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman, and Deputy Assistant to the President Alexander Butterfield. In addition, Nixon produced many documents in response to congressional subpoenas, including notes from meetings with the President. As the House Judiciary Committee explained at the time, 69 officials had been subjected to impeachment investigations throughout American history. Yet, and I quote, "with the possible exception of one minor official who invoked the privilege against self-incrimination, not one of them challenged the power of the committee conducting the investigation to compel the production of evidence it deemed necessary." President Nixon's production of records was incomplete, however, in a very important respect. He did not produce tape recordings of key Oval Office conversations. In response, the House Judiciary Committee approved an article of impeachment against the president for obstruction of Congress. 24 years later, the House undertook impeachment proceedings against President Clinton. Consistent with President and entirely unlike President Trump, Clinton pledged to cooperate fully with the impeachment investigations. Ultimately, he provided written responses to 81 interrogatories from the Judiciary Committee, and three witnesses provided testimony during the Senate trial. As this review of the historical record proves, presidents have long recognized that the Constitution compels them to honor subpoenas served by the House in an impeachment inquiry. Stated simply, President Trump's categorical blockade of the House, his refusal to honor any subpoenas, his order that all subpoenas, without even knowing what they were, all subpoenas be defied, has no analog in the history of the Republic. Nothing even comes close. He has engaged in obstruction that several of his predecessors have expressly said is forbidden, and that led to an article of impeachment against Nixon. President Trump is an outlier. He is the first and only president ever to declare himself unaccountable and to ignore subpoenas backed by the Constitution's impeachment power. If he is not removed from office, if he is permitted to defy the Congress entirely, categorically, to say that that subpoenas from Congress in an impeachment inquiry are nonsense, then we will have lost, the House will have lost, the Senate certainly will have lost, all power to hold any president accountable. This is a determination by President Trump that he wants to be all-powerful. He does not have to respect the Congress. He does not have to respect the representatives of the people. Only his will goes. He is a dictator.
His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Another reason he must be removed from.
That's how it goes with God emperors. And Representative Nadler has concluded. Looks like Representative Lofgren is stepping up. And let's be clear about something. All this business of any future president can do it if Trump gets away with it, I do have to say that I disagree with that. There is reason, because you see, here's how that would play out. Let's say there's a Democratic president, and let's say there's a let's say there's a Republican House, God forbid. And let's say there's a democratically controlled Senate. In other words, the exact opposite of the situation we have here. If that president were to simply tell the House to go chiny itself with regard to each and every subpoena that it sends, that Republican House would, of course, convene an impeachment committee. They would probably go about it in a far more slipshod manner than anything that this House has done. And then it would be sent to the Senate for trial, where a Democratic majority would probably remove that Democratic president. Because all the Republicans, let's say it's a 52-48 situation, all the Republicans would vote for removal, for conviction and removal. And the conduct would be so outrageous that there would be Democrats who would say, listen, we have no choice. We have got to stop this runaway train. They let Trump get away with it, but we can't let this guy get away with it or this woman get away with it. Because the Republic can only stand so much. Sobering thought, isn't it? And I reached that conclusion thinking back to the stirring, stentorian words of Holy Joe Lieberman back during the Clinton trial, when he thundered and called down the judgment of the Almighty upon Bill Clinton for having a consensual sex act with somebody who wasn't his wife. And Holy Joe Lieberman was incensed, I tell you, incensed. Now, I seem to recall that Robert Byrd was pretty disgusted, too. Yeah. Oh, by the way, there's another photograph out now. You remember how yesterday Dave in the Blind in Taliban, Deanna, gave me the pronouncer for Taliban, Deanna Senator Mike Brown, like in Eva Braun? Yeah. He said, well, yeah, Trump done all that, but I'm still not going to vote to convict him. Well, Mike Brown, because apparently at some point in time, Lev met everybody. So naturally, there's a photograph of Lev Parnas and Rudy Giuliani flanking Mike Brown of Taliban, Indiana. And they're on, and Brown's shaking Rudy's hand, and they're all just standing there, grinning like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush. And so, yeah, he's compromised too. If this was a real jury, he would be off the panel as soon as that information came to light. But old Balls and Strikes Roberts is sitting up there presiding over the Senate trial like a potted plant. And Mike Brown's running around talking to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, saying that Democrats are orchestrating the Lev Parnas allegations to be broadcast just hours before the impeachment trial began. Oh, God damn it. Right. Because, you know, they're magical wizards or something. Sure. God damn these people. So here we are, close to the end of the first hour of the program. I've sent a note to Sparky, letting him know that we're about to enter the old holler tree for the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. And just as a program note, this will be the end of the video. With me leaving Alabama, the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion are not conducive to video, so this will be the end of that. You'll have to go back to either to listening on one of the many, many platforms where you can get the audio of the program. Maybe in the near future we'll put together a crowdfunding campaign to expand the studio sufficiently to let me do video and do some other things that badly need to be done. And that's also how we'll set up the horn in. So look for that coming in the near future. But for the moment, we're almost to the top of the end of the first hour of the program. We got $500 in fundraising to do to get caught up with this week, mainly because we spent the early part of this week catching up with what was left over from two Fridays back. And it would be excellent, it would be wonderful if we could get together come this next Moran Monday and not be looking at a $700 fundraising hole. Because among other things, there may not be a next Moran Monday, because God only knows what it's going to take to, you know, get the stream and get the studio working again once I get home. So anyway, let's check in with Sparky over in the old holler tree. Hey, Sparky.
I'm not in the tree.
Yeah, the extraordinary. It's theater of the mind, Sparky. Theater of the mind. People are using their imaginations. It's an extraordinary, ordinary round table in an old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Work with the magic, man.
I'm in Skype command with Grady.
Yeah, which is in an old holler tree, because you're not in the man cave.
Well, it's kind of just wet and just yuck outside.
Yeah, it's been pretty gray here, but fortunately for me, at least it's not pouring down rain, so I've begun I've been able to go back and forth taking stuff out to the car, packing it up and getting ready to go.
First thing, I got a movie review for you. I got to tell you, folks, about if they get a chance to watch it.
Oh, yeah?
It's called The Last Bull Measure.
Is it a new one?
Yeah, it's fairly new. Let me get a drink. It's about an Air Force PJ during Vietnam that goes in and rescues a whole bunch of guys during a battle, and then ends up getting killed. And the guys were in the battle, and his parents fought for years to get him the Congressional Medal of Honor, and they finally got it done. That's basically what the story is about. Has Ed Harris is in it, and oh, Christ, I can't think of his name right now.
And what? Which platform?
Samuel L. Jackson, and some old British actor. I can't think of his name either. Plays the dad, but it's really good.
And what platform?
I got it off of a movie site online. It's not streaming anywhere yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking maybe while I was down here I would get to go and see 1917, but never quite worked out that way.
1917 didn't blow up my dress.
Oh, no.
It's cinematic and everything, but it didn't do anything for me, really.
Okay.
Because it's like a continuous scene of these two guys going out to save this battalion of British troops.
Yes.
I won't do any spoilers, so that's what it's about.
Yeah, thanks for not.
But they go through trenches, they go through all these weird places. Grady's eyeballing my chicken strip I have over here. I had to turn around and give him
is he giving you the pathetic Labrador face? Because that just kills.
Yeah, he's got, you know, the perky ears, and then and I'm innocent. But he's getting really gray on his face. He's got a gray beard now.
Share your chicken strip, goddammit. What's it going to hurt, you know?
I knew that would get a rouse out of you.
Hey, Steve.
Grady loves him, man.
But my idea for Trump's crimes is what Elizabeth Warren said. Trump crime commission after a Democratic president is elected. Day one.
Well, I read about that. I'm not so sure how I feel about it, though, because I need for a court of competent jurisdiction to be able to bring charges.
Well, won't we have a new district? Attorney General.
Yeah, and well. I live in constant fear that we're going to wind up with, if we can get rid of him, if we can beat him, we're going to wind up with somebody who says, well, I think we should look forward and not back. Because I've been to that movie.
I think Biden would do that.
And I think Biden would do that, yeah.
But I don't think Bernie would do that.
No, but I don't think Bernie's going to be the nominee either. I mean, it seems like the long knives are out for both him and Elizabeth Warren. I mean, what a beautiful multimillionaire for-profit media double whammy that was. That whole ginned up business about Bernie and Elizabeth are having a spat. They're having a fight. Come on, progressive wing of the Democratic Party, tear yourself to pieces, you dumbasses. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
But
we got to do something.
We do. And what needs to happen is, say, you get a really kick-ass U.S. attorney for the Southern District in New York, and he goes after Trump with, you know, all cylinders banging. I mean, that's my best guess.
I want all these people that have assisted him to go to jail too.
Oh, I want a perp walk parade, and I don't want any of these bullshit 6-month sentences down at Maxwell fucking Air Force Base either.
Not playing tennis.
Exactly.
I heard a interview with Tommy Chong. And he said the guy that wrote the book, The Wolf of Wall Street, was in federal prison with him. And he was taking a break from playing tennis and talked to Tommy about the book. And Tommy Chong said he was plagiarizing because it was just like another book that he read. But anyway, that's how easy it was, federal prison for Tommy Chong. They had tennis courts and
right. I mean, there's still gates and bars and yeah, but right.
They don't call it Club Fed for nothing, guys.
Oh, and hey, I got some happy news. Thanks to Henry and Mary Bell and Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy, we are now down to $380 to go. So we wiped out Wednesday. We got $20 into yesterday, and maybe, just maybe, we can get it all out of the way by the end of the evening. That would be humongous. So jump in, stand shoulder to shoulder with the folks who are.
Let's try to get this conversation radio going. I mean, it's not free. It's not. Nothing in life worth the damn is free.
Right, exactly. And I've got I got a ton of bills when I get home, and
they probably got a stack waiting on your.
Well, yeah, not just that. What's really got me, you know, worried is knowing I'm probably gonna, and you know, rule one: never buy a computer at Walmart. But that's probably exactly what I'm going to wind up doing.
Now, why is that rule? Explain.
Well, because you know, there's no meaningful tech support. It's either it works or it doesn't, and if it drops dead on day 31, you're fucked.
So you'd be better off going to Best Buy's and getting
we don't have one of.
Not even a Beckley, Bob?
No. Closest thing we've got is Staples.
Ugh. Isn't that Mittens?
That's well. I don't know if Bain Capital still owns it, but they damn sure did.
And when you get a new computer, you got to transfer all that data, which is a
that's not that big of a problem, Steve, because all the streaming PC does is handle the stream. That's all it does.
So yeah, well, cool. Well, then you sound like you're on top of this thing, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm as on top of it as I'm as on top of it as I can be from, you know, 600 miles away. But yeah. Oh, and by the way, Darlene in Connecticut says, "Okay, seeing that a horn listener made a Dune reference, then I have to launch this beauty right now. I was saving it, but note the uncanny resemblance. Mike Pompeo equals the Beast Raban, and I'm not the only one that noticed the resemblance. By the way, there's a studio exec." How Raban is to be, who Raban, like Pompeo, deteriorates quite a bit over time. Oh my God, that's funny.
That's funny. Is Rick out there? Is he doing billable things?
No, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, brother. I heard you earlier.
Made a joke a little earlier about.
I heard you earlier today on a different program, and
oh, Randy,
yeah, it kind of irritated me the way she disrespected you. I know she didn't mean to.
The thing is, I just wrote a note to Irwin because Irwin heard it too, and yep. this issue concerned, what happens if, the president's lawyers lie to the Senate? Well, of course, it's going to happen.
But and she's not up, always right, and she
She came up with this kind of harebrained idea that, well, what if a senator, maybe even a Republican senator, hands a note to the Chief Justice asking the justice to, like, call the attorney out for lying in violation of ABA Rule 3.3.
Right.
And I said, first of all, that's not going to happen, and secondly, based on the way this is set up, I mean, Roberts is just there – could it kind of be like a potted plant? He's not going to do anything. And then somehow she got into this idea that, well, if Roberts finds the attorney in contempt or whatever, then that could be appealed. And I mean, she had this idea that if the Senate acquits or removes the president, that decision can be appealed to the Supreme Court. At least that's the sense I got of what she said. And there's no way. It's like. Yeah. They're the final arbiter.
Really? Wait, what?
Yeah. Karen heard it too, and it rubbed her the wrong way.
Is that the way she interpreted it too?
Yes, sir.
That you can appeal the decision in an impeachment trial. Sorry.
No, it's not.
I got lost. Who said a judgment in an impeachment trial is appealable?
Randy Rhodes.
Argued with Rick today, man.
Yeah. So I was trying. I was trying to say, no, you can't. Senate's it.
And of course,
Senate's the show.
She's got the mic, and you know how it is, Bob. You can always cut somebody off and make them.
She had a hard break to get to. See, that's the.
Well, I mean, look. I mean, under Marbury versus Madison, Chief Justice Marshall says the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what is and is not constitutional.
Right.
So maybe, this is the kind of thing that they argue about in the Ivy League law schools and stuff. Well, while people going to state law schools are out there just trying to figure out how to help, help Mr. Cunningham with his entailment.
And how to get paid.
Yeah, right.
So if I hear you, Bob, you're saying that there might have been an element of truth in what she was saying.
I mean, you can ask the Supreme Court to look at anything,
right?
But there are rules as to what the Supreme Court will and will not look at. See, that's one of the. I mean, and by the way, while it's at the top of my head, I have got to send out big props to you, Steve from Georgia Stan, and to our buddy Todd. I've been watching a lot of these proceedings on C-SPAN, when I'm not on the air.
Oh.
And during the breaks, they take calls.
Oh.
And I've been one foot out the door on the way to the liquor store more times than I can count.
Warm up that swirly straw, Bob. It's the tequila tastes better a little warm, right?
Holy God! I'm past tequila. I'm going for the rot gut sake.
I hear Chris out there chuckling. He knows he's got it. He's got it.
I mean, it's so transparent. It's like one sane person for every 15 lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
And they got no honor. They call the Democrat. And, well, yeah, I'm a member of the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I used to be, and now
He says, I'm a member of the Democrat Party, but I think we've just made a real mess of this. And he was trying to sound all reasonable. They're all Pedro,
true.
It's like that John Prine song. She called everybody Roy. She called everybody Roy. Whoever the Pedro was today said, well, do you think maybe we need to call some witnesses? No, 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 as a member of the Democrat Party, I think it's too late. We've just messed this up completely. And I'm like, you fuck.
Witnesses, schmitnesses.
Yeah. We are.
If you're a Democrat, if you're a Democrat, I'm Leon fucking Trotsky come back from the dead.
Yeah. They've never been Democrats. This is bullshit, man. And we keep
holy bullshit. It's breathtaking. I mean, I was almost to picking up the line to call the Democrat line and say, "Hi, I'm a real Democrat, and I just wanted to point out that that these discussions point out the dire lack of civic education in this country and what it has done to our republic." Hmm. But I didn't, because I knew I'd never get through, because there are too many goddamn Republicans on the Democrat line.
You could have called the Republican line, Bob.
So, Bob, you're saying that the bumper music for C-SPAN should be Lunatic Fringe?
Yeah, among other things.
Why not?
Or maybe the Boomtown Rats Elephant. The Boomtown Rats Elephant's Graveyard. That would be a good one.
I'm getting to the point where I'm about ready to hang it up. I can't do this anymore.
Wow.
Steve, yeah. It's you and Todd on that line.
I know. We're bearing this cross.
You guys are the last defenders of the Republic. So I hope, hope the pressure's not too great for you guys.
Oh, and by the way, I thought I would mention there's information out there that.
I am the chosen one. They're showing now on CNN.
Bishop Willard Romney is bored.
He was
caught on a hot mic talking to Senator Mike Ava Brown from Taliban, Indiana, and he said, Brown said, "I think we got another 6 hours," and Romney replied, "Oh, geez, no one's watching." And then he turns around to Tim Scott, the lone possessor in the Republican senatorial caucus of melanin, and he said to Tim Scott, I'm dying.
And they go hang out in the cloakroom, and they make spindles, and they play football. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm. I've been on jury duty. You can't do that shit. You'll be held in contempt of court, you know?
Well, again, it's not a real trial. That's the problem, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, real jurors don't get to, talk amongst themselves or go out
hang in the cloakroom.
Oh, and by the way, you may not have realized, but you do. There is you do have another colleague taking one for the team, watching Washington Journal. Jack in Shreveport says, "In a case like this, I just got to insist on a little credit for listening to Washington Journal some too. It's a tough job."
Well, welcome aboard, Jack. Yeah.
What's the hourly rate you guys charge for listening to the Journal, huh?
I don't know, brother, but it ain't enough. Whatever. Yeah, it is.
No kidding. Jeez.
Jesus Christ, these people are so stupid.
How can Mittens be bored? Isn't he getting Rafalka ready for the Tokyo Olympics?
Oh, there you go.
Is Rafalka still with us? I mean,
live or dead? That's a really good question.
I mean, last I heard of Rafalka, he'd strapped him to the roof of the family station wagon, and they were howling down the road on the way to Lake Tahoe.
Research group here about Rafalka. Is Rafalka?
Oh, and I don't know. That's another thing. I don't know if Bain Capital still owns what used to be known as Clear Channel Radio and rebranded themselves as iHeart Radio because nobody wanted anything to do with Clear Channel after 2012. And then they've been steadily just hemorrhaging money. A couple of weeks back, iHeart Radio just slashed its workforce. Blood on the floor. People in little stations and busted knuckle and Pissant, Arizona, and goodbye.
Yeah, shit, that means there's a hell of a lot more right-wing lunatics to call into Washington Journal.
Okay, I've got the results here. Rafalka, she was foaled in 1997, so that would make her, I guess, like 23 years old, so she's probably still alive. She didn't make the Olympics team in 2012, unfortunately.
No.
Actually, she did. She was in the London Olympics, finished in 28th place, didn't qualify for the medal round. So I don't know if Rafalka's probably past her prime as far as, you know, being a dressage horse, you know? You have to have a certain look, and you can't have gray hair, and
you know,
you got to be a hot-looking horse, you know?
Damn it.
Next.
Hot-looking, a hot-looking mare.
There you go, exactly.
Oh, my God, Becky, wait a minute. This can't be real. Yes, it is.
yeah, it kind of is.
No. What I'm looking at here, this can't, but it is. We now have a logo for Space Force. It's the logo for Starfleet Command.
Is it really?
I shit you not. He tweeted it today. After consultation with our great military leaders. Then that's capital G, great, capital M, military, capital L, leaders. With our great military leaders, you know, the ones I call dopes and babies, designers and others, I am pleased to present the new logo for the United States Space Force, the sixth branch of our magnificent military. And, yeah, it's that triangular, you know, it's the Starfleet thingy logo.
I know he was an ass, but I'm of the opinion that Don Imus was the only thing keeping iHeart hanging by the threads, even though he quit many months ago.
They're hemorrhaging money, but they've got oodles of radio stations, you know, country stations, pop stations, this station, that station. But really, I mean, for a radio program that has an obligatory daily Star Trek reference, Jesus Christ. They'd just ignore that congressional subpoena, too. I'd like to know, can Sony Universal please fucking sue? I mean, it really is. It's the
trademark start. Infringement.
Yeah.
That's a trademark.
Desist order, right?
Yeah, they should. Why not? Hey, I noticed the stock price keeps falling during these impeachment hearings for some reason, or trial. Maybe the money class is afraid of the shit that's coming out, you know?
The market in general, with the exception of today, has been just shitting all over the place, man.
Yeah.
And reverse it, you know.
Well, people are definitely paying attention to this, I think, you know.
Well, apparently one guy is saying that the Air Force Space Command logo also had that triangular, you know, with the indentation. You know, it's kind of like an arrowhead kind of thing. But, this is extra creepy. The Air Force Space Command logo has two golden crosses on either side. Shit, you know.
Damn, that is extra scuba creepy. What the fuck, man?
I mean, they're supposed to be stars, but they're quite obviously golden crosses.
Bob, can you put on that suit of yours? You know, the one that foretells future.
Oh, you mean the tattered.
Yeah, with the hearts and the moon, with the stars and the clovers.
Yeah, right. And will thee kiss me in the dark, baby, written in glow in the dark ink across the.
I've got a question.
The hooded purple robe.
Shaman Bob.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you really think we're going to get stuck with another 4 years of this? I know it's a difficult question.
Well, yes, I do.
Yes, yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
Christ, I don't know.
I desperately want to be wrong about this, but when the Senate allows him to get away with this, everything that Adam Schiff, Val Demings, Judge Garcia,
crow, you know, and
Representative Jesus. Nadler, everything that they have predicted will come true, and they will run and he will run roughshod. He will cheat his ass off. The election will be manipulated.
Mm-hmm. 240,000 voters have been thrown off the rolls already in Wisconsin.
Well, that's like a cottage industry there, is throwing voters off the rolls.
Yeah.
What the fuck is a Democratic governor doing about that?
Great question, Rich.
I thought it was no longer Scott Walker stand, you know?
No, well, yeah, but they kind of Walker stand it up by removing a lot of the powers of the governor.
But doesn't the governor have to approve legislation, like, sign it into law or veto it?
Well, I heard on Cedar's show that the pivotal race was the judicial race. Mm-hmm. And that one went to the conservatives, the right wing, and that toppled the court, you know.
Mm.
And so now that's a right wing court. And I believe they took a case up to the state court. And then, it was unconstitutional for them to throw the people off the rolls. That case was lost.
Oh.
And so they were able to throw them off.
Oh, man.
I think there's a similar thing going on in Michigan and possibly Pennsylvania as well.
Well, all this impeachment thing, it was all the right thing to do. But, Chris, let me ask you this. 2024, what's going to happen?
Oh, don't go out that far. We may not even be here.
Bob has his $5 bet on Ivanka, I think.
Yeah, I do. I still got a $5 bet on Ivanka.
Why not?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wank him a daddy Trump Kushner.
Oh, my God.
It could be. I mean, we're headed for autocracy, full-on autocracy, if T-Rump is still in there.
Mm. Hey, I posted the logo of the U.S. Space Farce and, juxtaposed with Starfleet Command for the United Federation of Planets, and they look very similar. I don't know if you guys can see that on the chat.
I think the mascot for the Space Force should be that alien that pops out of in that movie, Alien, that pops out of the guy's chest.
The
mascot.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm not sure if that's going to inspire confidence in the people who have to wear that.
So what's our only grasp of hope?
Well, I mean, let's just hold on a minute because, Brother Deacon Asa is in agreement. Says, oh, yes, we can't even keep the morons on our side from picking on the scabs from 4 years ago. Wow, that hurts.
Not me either. I hope not.
Oh, yes, we can't even keep the morons on our side from picking on the scabs from 4 years ago. You really think they're going to change their minds the day before the election, Steve? We can't even get some members of this tiny little so-called sane community keep from shooting themselves in the dick at the voting booth.
There's no question about that. I'm really concerned about that. I mean,
well, he's a straight shooter. I mean,
hurting the cats has never been easy.
As I've remarked before, Chris, we ain't herding cats. That's easy. You open a can of little Friskies, you can get some cooperation. We're wrangling butterflies.
Tribbles.
Pigeons. Jesus.
Well, and then don't forget.
It's not funny. You got to laugh or you'll cry. I mean, what are your options here, man? You know?
You still got the Facebook bots who are going to go crazy. Twitter, I guess they've tried to rein it in to some degree, but that's still going to be rampant too. And you're going to have the throngs of social mediaites who are going to buy into a lot of the fucking bullshit that's thrown out there. And
Chris, we knew when all this was going down that when he was impeached and he was not thrown out of office, he would come out and declare victory at the Rose Garden the next fucking day. And that's what's going to happen.
We said that at the very beginning. I mean, that was a great debate here in the Horn family. And but then finally, when the Ukraine stuff hit, I think we're all on board saying, for history's sake, we had to.
Well, I'm gonna throw one more. I'm gonna throw one more thing out there, and that is, I'm still not convinced that we have seen the end of impeaching Donald Trump, because they want him to be special. And so, you know, the taint of impeachment will never go away, even though that's the argument they're going to make, that because he was acquitted in the Senate.
Whoa.
Hold on. I'm not done.
Taint?
I'm not done. The taint of impeachment. Yeah. So they're going to claim that because he was acquitted by the Senate, that he really wasn't impeached. Now, that's bullshit, but that's something they are going to damn well do that. So, here's the thing. They're going to re-impeach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Agreed.
Right after the election.
Hey, Darlene.
Right after the inauguration.
Hey, Darlene. Again.
Hi, guys. I figured we'd get a girl's voice in here.
Yes. It's so nice to hear a female voice in here. Thank you for hopping in.
No problem. I was actually prepping dinner, but I said, oh, I gotta jump in here. I'm sorry, Bob, about the mix-up with the AGs, but I would still say that Letitia James still hates Donald Trump and would go after his ass.
Yeah, but she's gotta have something to work with.
Yeah, exactly. But she seems like somebody that is not easily intimidated. And just the whole thing with Dune and Raban, I swear he bears an uncanny resemblance to Mike Pompeo. And if anybody doesn't know who Raban is, he was Sting's sidekick in Dune. And, he looks just like him, even the sweatiness and everything. And, of course, he deteriorates over time, I guess, with the boils and everything else.
Well,
but
you having mentioned Bob
and
sure, go
Duncan
for it.
Duncan and everybody out there, do you think we'll be able to survive this?
I am questioning it. I'm scared.
Nope. Well, it depends on how you define survive.
There won't be a republic.
I mean, four years.
Four years
of Donald Trump. 4 years of Donald Trump, and there's 4 years of Donald Trump, and there's probably going to be a whole bunch of people who get thrown off their disability.
Lose their SSI.
Yep. More internment camps. Bigger internment camps.
There'll be more because this is good.
Internment camps.
The Senate of the United States, in acquitting him, will because of the disordered way that his mind works, he will see that as approval of what everything he has done and everything he plans on doing, and so there will be more children in cages.
I've got capital. I can do what I want.
Yeah, that's exactly what Schiff is trying to point out, you know. Steve, I think that the lights and the electricity will still be on, just like the bread will still be flowing, you know, into our mouths. Otherwise, like Bob has always said, you know.
Darlene, I think stomach is rumbling.
That's when there will be revolt.
Right, you know? And the other thing I said, Darlene, is that. There's no flashing neon light that says empire collapsed, empire collapsed, empire collapsed.
Because Putin said it. He said it. He said that the United States is the declining empire. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
That's a big flashing light. In my book.
It's a process, but Bob's saying it's a process.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, and we all know how much I enjoy the songwriting skills of Al Stewart, and I think it's On the Border, where he sings, "In the village where I grew up, nothing feels the same. But the patterns that remain an empty shell. No one notices the customs slip away." And this country,
scary,
will remain recognizable to the people who are in it. But as generations grow older, we will look back and say, "Hey, we have been a different way." You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you can see it in little things like funny little videos of teenagers trying to make a phone call on a rotary phone. Okay. And it's funny because there are some of us who still remember rotary phones. And
it's my humorous. Nieces and stepdaughters don't. They have no clue how to use one.
Right. And it would have been equally funny to the generation prior to mine to see us try to use an old phone where you had to pick up and holler, Central, hey, Central, get me Cletus down to the car garage.
So,
and to persist in our Star Trek references, the best reference is Star Trek: The Journey Home, when Scotty picks up the mouse and says, computer.
Bob, exactly. I just asked a question that I think blew right past you. Should we have air kicks before the whole shit house goes up in flames?
You mean eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die? No, that's not a good survival strategy.
Well, it works for a month.
That's kind of what I've been doing since the election. Go ahead, Darlene.
Well, I'm sorry. If we are to reclaim, you know, like if what Steve is saying, like the worst case scenario, which I think is going to happen, that, you know, the Senate is not going to convict and remove Trump, then I guess that it does boil down to the American people attempting to vote him out of office and all the Republicans out of office and making a statement that way. I don't see any other recourse. But that, what am I missing? You know,
can you imagine him crowing? He is going to crow.
This is the deal. This is my analysis. You know, if they don't call any witnesses and don't allow additional documents, then, you know, Trump can crow all he wants. But the Democrats will say, look, this is a rigged trial. There was no, you know, we never had a chance to find out the truth. He's still hiding the truth. He wasn't exonerated. He was just, you know, it was just a big cover up by the Senate. That's the argument you make. And I don't know that you can claim a true exoneration if there's no evidence or witnesses against you in a case. How the hell can you claim that?
Yeah, but well, on Fox News, you can, Rick. And they'll be hip.
Well, those people are dead enders. Forget about them. Fuck them.
But the problem, Rick, is that the majority of Republicans in the Senate are then dead enders. Because, as has been pointed out in a number of interviews, yeah. And I think it was Chuck Schumer who said it, there's a whole lot of Republican senators who absolutely do not have any idea what's going on in the real world because all they ever do is watch Fox News. That's where their information comes from.
Oh, God.
That's so scary.
The more you watch Fox, the less you know.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I remember eons ago when a buddy of the program, haven't heard from him in years, by the name of Rick Goodner, wrote a book called The Fox Syndrome, shared, and he was a psychologist. It was called The Fox Syndrome, Shared Psychotic Disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what he was saying is that regular viewers of Fox are part of a shared psychosis.
Jim Jones followers or David Koresh followers. Yeah. Same type of deal. Right?
Chris, like a cult.
Yeah,
Chris, like what you're saying, it's like cult, a cult.
It isn't called Cult 45 for nothing.
Good one,
Not original.
I'm just glad my parents aren't alive anymore. They would have been.
Yeah, my dad would have just been freaked out. And to quote a very good friend of all of ours, we're all screwed.
Yeah, where is Scotty?
Probably here. God damn, man. This is just so depressing.
Right, because despite the great case that the Democrats are presenting, all we're hearing is, oh, you know, we're bored. Oh, it's the same thing over and over again. Lindsey Graham I wanted to mention, Rick, you were talking about the markets. I thought the issue with the markets might be due to the coronavirus or something in China. I don't know if that was affecting.
Yeah, yep.
Well, I don't know. Who knows?
And we now know that. And the coronavirus is in Chicago now.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, you wouldn't know that. listening.
Bob, I might stay away for a few weeks because I feel like I'm dragging your whole show down.
Why?
You know? Why?
No, this is what we need to talk about. This keeps us pepped up, Steve. I mean, we can't wallow in sadness and despair, but we've got to figure a way out of this. And I think we all bounce a lot of great ideas off each other and support each other. And that's what it's all
thanks,
about.
Thanks, Chris.
Right?
I've always considered you a good friend, even though we've never met face-to-face.
Well, maybe Steve, that'll change this summer.
Steve, you totally reflect how we all feel. I'm like, really freaked out about this, too. You know, I'm watching this, like, right from 1 o'clock right on till the bitter end every night, and I'm extremely worried about it as well. So you're giving
Darlene, I don't want to freak anybody out, you know.
You don't have to. I'm already free. I'm watching.
And actually, so.
The hope is,
you're just
Steve,
giving
that
voice
there are more of us than there are them, than the brain-dead zombies. There are more. But will our votes count? Will they count at places that matter in the purple states? That's the huge, you know, are we going to have a massive turnout in Florida? I'm hoping that a lot of those, a lot of Puerto Ricans that had to move there because of the hurricane are registered and ready to go. And we need those.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Ron Monkey up DeKlantis will have a plan in place to deal with those Puerto Ricans.
Those damn carpetbaggers, yeah.
But get the hell out of our country. But I mean, the real.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two different ways. I mean, there's the presidential election, and you got to worry about places like Ohio and Florida. Uh-huh. But there's the Senate, and that matters too.
Yeah.
And Joni Ernst, and Cory Gardner.
And her hog boss.
She's the hog deballer. Joni Ernst, Martha McSally, Cory Gardner. And, you know, take some of the damn fight to Kentucky. Make Mitch McConnell sweat. Call him the un-American foreign agent that he is in Kentucky.
Nope. Because if he gets back in, and we are stuck with Chuck Schumer as majority leader. Oh my God! You know Mitch McConnell's going to play Chuck Schumer like a violin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think maybe that's something that needs to be said too. We want a Senate majority, but we do not want a Senate majority that is run by Chuck Schumer. We need an agreement on the front end that Chuck will step the fuck down.
How about Kamala?
She's too young. She is too young and inexperienced in the ways of the Senate. She's a first termer, dude.
That's true.
What ideas do you have on
who should be the majority leader? Assuming Dick
Durbin's sitting in the next chair.
Yeah, okay. and that's what I didn't understand. He was sitting in the next chair under Harry Reid too, Sparky.
Huh.
Interesting.
Bob Kincaid is the next majority leader. Oh, shit. You got my vote.
Get your nose out of the bottle.
All you have
Steve.
To do is beat Joe Manchin, Bob, and you're in. Okay.
Well, that's a compliment.
Yeah, I know.
No matter how you want to take it. But yeah, I would vote for you in a second.
Wouldn't be worth moving to West Virginia.
Hey, guess what, Bob? You've been nominated to be for president in 2020, at least Henry II has been by Joe's giraffe.
Jeffrey. Yeah, I saw Giraffe's photograph, and yeah,
that was cute. Yeah,
it was adorable.
Yeah.
Can I ask? I think history is being made though, in that we have at least three women that are impeachment managers, right? I think that's a first, and not only that, even more so, a black woman.
Yes.
With Val Demings and Judge
color.
Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoe Lofgren. And Hakeem Jeffries, who's speaking now, who's been
I think
awesome.
He will have if Democrats retain control of the House, I think Hakeem Jeffries is going to be the person who eventually replaces Nancy Pelosi.
Maybe.
Wow.
That'd be terrific.
How long has he been in the House? He's in leadership now, isn't he? Yeah, he is.
And I was reminded when I was watching
Caucus chair.
I was reminded when I was watching the stellar job he's been doing. Do you know? And this is, you know, I mean, this is, you know, this isn't a critique. This isn't, it's just a fact. AOC threatened to have him primaried.
Hakeem?
Yep.
Huh?
Really?
Yep.
Why? Oh. Just not progressive enough?
Yeah. That's... Didn't meet. He failed to meet some purity test.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Hey, if we need to avoid those circular firing squads. That doesn't seem to really work so well for us.
Yeah, that'd be a bonus.
No, it doesn't work.
It gives birth to Trump.
You're right, Chris. I mean, especially when you see what happened with Sanders and Warren, it's like, you know, you're looking at deviousness and dysfunction on the Republican side and then just like, you know, dysfunction on the Democratic side. So it's not like, you know, we're very capable of shooting ourselves in the foot, and we can't do that. This is too important with the upcoming election.
Darlene, when I see a dear friend of mine, like Rick today, get his hair pulled on a national radio show, it hurts. It hurts, you know.
Oh, it's okay, Steve. It didn't hurt. I got a haircut, so it can't be.
You know, brother, I've always got your back. Always.
So I got a note here from. I got a note here from Steve in Vermont. So far, the Dems' presentation in the well of the Senate has been nearly flawless, especially Schiff. I have some hope that parts of his presentation will influence the public mind. The fascist Republican Party voting along party lines, not American lines, will be remembered on Election Day, and I believe it can be framed effectively as a national security issue. My take on the primary season, it's all one. The struggle will never end. Sanders' ideology of democratic participation of all classes particularly irritates the moneyed professional class donors who push for an imitation of an Obama restoration under Biden. The intersection of democratic populist ideas and opinions with the working class in mind have always been light years ahead of the corporate-controlled professional class that currently runs the Democratic Party. Because the working class has been abandoned and ignored by the Democratic donor class as a deliberate conscious choice, the existential vulnerabilities these voters experience every day have been used against them. The fascist movement in the U.S. called Trumpism will not be moved by a weak-minded centrist. He or she will be co-opted and absorbed by the disassociated rambling man. Anything associated with a corrupted Democratic Party, any hint of returning to what never was, will bring a strong and negative reaction to that false hope. And Steve mentions a weak-minded centrist. One of the reasons, you know, I pointed out that, you know, if you want to get bare-knuckled about it, Grandpa Joe could go to a microphone and say, I will be happy to testify immediately after Donald Trump does. Yeah, I will be happy to sit and be cross-examined right after Donald Trump puts his hand in the air, takes an oath, and is cross-examined by the House managers. But here's the problem. Joe can't do that.
Why can't he?
Because he will probably dodder and start telling a corn pop story.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez. He'll go off into La La Land.
And the minute that he stumbles over a word, the for-profit media will start screaming about him being senile, doddering.
Well, that's already come up during one of the first debates where I think Castro got like scolded for, you know, implying that Biden had lost it, even though everybody there could see that he had lost it. You know, you remember that?
Yep.
He got ass kicked for that. I think it's because the for-profit media wants Joe to be the nominee.
And see, meanwhile, the Republican leadership in the Senate is scared shitless at the idea of Biden testifying, because then it opens doors that they want to remain closed because they don't want any damn witnesses. So that leads to what David in South Carolina, Stan, pointed out, and that is Precious Lindsay running to a microphone and saying, goodness me, my dear, dear friend Joe Biden, whom I love, I do, I love him, I do. Raul, is it martini hour yet? Raul, is it martini hour yet, Raul? Anyway, I love me some Joe Biden, but I tell you what, just as quick as we get this here little old impeachment trial over with, I will investigate the shit out of Joe and Hunter Biden in the Senate Judiciary Committee, so we don't have to worry about that little old thing no more. All right, Raul. Raul, I love it when you shake the martinis, because every party you shakes while you're shaking that shaker. I do love cocktail hour.
I need some more of that hot wax, Raul.
Did you notice how Lindsay singled out Judge Nada Garcia today?
No, like what?
He went after her because her presentation. You saw that, Steve?
Yes.
Her presentation was extremely effective, and he basically tried to swing it that she lied or that she was misleading in her presentation. Yeah, so he's afraid of her, boy. Oh yeah, and what she had said, because she had the graphics and a really great presentation. When she was laying out her bit, so yeah.
Hey, speaking of graphics, I wonder.
Does she have a nickname yet?
Rick, let me just jump in here and say something real quick. Look how they ripped us apart with the Dean scream.
The Dean scream? Oh, John Dean?
Dean scream.
Yeah, back in 2004.
You know.
Yeah.
Howard Dean.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yep.
Howard Dean, yep.
Yeah, you're right. You know.
Hey, well, Zach, you're not the stupid stuff. Speaking of white women showing their asses.
Hey, Tracy. Hey, do it, sweetheart.
I'm hanging in there, y'all. So speaking of, like I said, white women, you know, showing their asses on the radio. Stephanie Miller this morning. Now, I very rarely listen to her. But this so happens this morning, I had to be up because I have physical therapy, and she's on KPFK at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, the show was good and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. I enjoy Stephanie Miller. That is until a sister called on the show. And so, you know, she was telling her how much she loved the show and blah, blah, blah. So Stephanie Miller and her little sidekick instantly went into black speak, like, oh, girl, and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and,
no.
Like, you know, because, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was not good.
That was not good. And I'm like, I mean, instantly, and I'm like, I hate that shit. I cannot fucking stand it when white women, you know, because from Hillary to Elizabeth Warren, all that pandering bullshit, like we are incapable. Yes, the woman sounded like, you know, she had, you know, she definitely was a black woman. You could tell, and by the way she spoke, but that does not give you permission to speak that way. And then she invoked the, you know, Frangela. The French, you know,
is that French, the Tracy?
They're
is
black
that,
though. They're Tracy, black, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah,
they're on.
Tracy
the
is
so
Tracy.
They have permission to speak that way, you know, because I have called into the onto the show.
Yeah.
And never, ever, on the occasions that I have called onto the show, has she devolved into black speak. And I'm like, bitch, oh, it took everything I had, and I'm still considering tweeting to her and say, yo, I was so offended. I was like, really? So you heard it too, Steve? Did you hear it this morning as well?
Yeah, I heard it. I watched it today.
Chris, I'm sorry, Chris. You heard it too.
And I heard it too.
Well, hey, Tracy, is that the phenomenon that's known as Hillary in a black church?
Oh,
yes!
There you go.
And then she was going through all sorts of black phrases and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bitch, are you fucking kidding me?
Tracy, I appreciate you calling me out, sweetheart. I gotta go. Karen is wanting to go to the store, and you know, the mama calls.
Give a big hug to Cletus for us, Steve.
I will.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Thank Miss Karen, Cletus and little Cletus, a little Twiggy for
Cletus
us.
Cletus needs a new bone, by the way. She told me that.
And Bob, thanks for including me in all this.
Oh, you're always welcome. You're always welcome, my friend.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, stay strong, man.
Have a great week, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Steve. Bye now.
So, who else we saw was Chris, and who else heard that show this morning? Chris and who
Steve
else?
Did.
Yes, I did. And Malcolm Steve and Chris did.
I didn't hear it. I don't listen to Stephanie.
So the white people heard it too. Okay.
I don't know.
Not that I need validation from white men, but.
Yeah.
I don't know if Stephanie thinks she gets a license because A, liberal, and B, yeah, Frangela, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. That's bullshit, though.
She evoked Frangela. Didn't you hear? She's like, well, Frangela gave me from a bitch. No, she did. Because I guarantee you that if they heard this show, they're like, no, this bitch did not.
Tracy, she didn't check with you. And you're right there in the same city, so there's no excuse.
Right. No, she's right down.
Isn't Frangela on the third hour of the show every Friday?
That's right.
Because, see, I haven't seen.
You're cutting out, Tracy.
You're breaking up, Tracy. Uh-oh. Stand on your good leg and put one hand in the air and hold your thumb just right and you might get the signal back.
Well, yeah, I was going
and adjust the hockey puck as well. That'll work.
I was going through
make sure you're not in the swimming pool. Now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. Better.
There's a dead part. Rick, I'm on the 101 heading east and there's that spot between the Parkway Calabasas off ramp and the Fallbrook off ramp and it's just okay. Right in there. That my phone cuts off, and then once I get east of the Fallbrook off ramp, once I'm solidly in Woodland Hills, then my signal is fine.
There you go.
I'm just trying to figure out. I'm going to have to respond because I'm pissed, and I'm going to have to go on Twitter. I just haven't figured out the way to say it because I'm like I said,
just say. Just say, just say as a black, independent, thinking, progressive woman, I'm extremely offended by, your black speak earlier
black speak this
today to an African-American caller.
Yes.
You know.
Highly offended.
Okay. Yeah, highly offended. You know,
Chris, what's her sidekick's name? Because he was cross-signing, too.
Chris LaVoy. Chris LaVoy.
Chris LaVoy, yeah.
Because
yeah, and
he has, I'm pretty sure he has because he was that asshole was co-signing too, motherfucker. So yeah.
And it not only offends you, but it also demeans the audience, especially those members of the black community and other people of color.
It was demeaning because, like I said, I have called on, like I said, when she was K Talk or whatever the station was, years back.
KTLK, K Talk.
I called up to the show on several occasions. On several occasions, and not once did she devolve into black speak. So I am pissed.
Tracy, you can refer to the sidekick as a younger, gayer Ed McMahon. That'll work.
So he's family.
What's Travis's last name?
Travis, right?
Travis Bone.
Yeah.
And Chris LaVoy. Yeah, they're a couple of clowns.
Because like I said, and the show was good because they were talking about Lindsey Graham and the fainting couch, and I'm like. I wanted to say, y'all need to stop listening to Bob Kincaid.
No, just send Bob a check. Just send a check.
We could do some royalties, right, Bob?
Yes. If you guys are going to use, they did the Vici, government. I'm like, will you guys fucking send Bob a goddamn check already?
And Malcolm,
I love your mild-mannered nature, Tracy. That's the best part of you, babe.
I know. It's so mild. If you're gonna steal my homeboy's material, give him a, at least give, you know, pay his ass, for God's damn. Yeah. Right. Especially since he's on buying a new motherfucking computer when he takes his ass back to West Virginia. So if you're going to steal his material and do a piss poor Lindsey Graham imitation, then, you know, at least pay the man so he can buy a new computer. Okay. But no.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing about Bob is like he's so far ahead of the curve that he's actually paving the road as he drives along it, you know?
I understand that the motherfucker still needs to get paid. That part.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I love the, you know, I love the fact that my man is paving the way and giving these mother, you know, the multimillionaire for-profit media all this great material that they are obviously using. God damn it! I need my man to get paid. I mean, so he's, you know, he's not taking up, you know, the show, you know, asking for us to help him out. And I do, I mind, you know, when I got it, when you got, what I got, he got. But God damn it. You know, it's some bullshit. And I, like I said, because I haven't had a chance, because when that happened, I was on my way, I was working, you know, I was on my way to physical therapy, then go pick up Penny, and then Weight Watchers, and then swimming. So I really haven't had a chance to sit down and be calm about it, because I was as you guys have heard me say, I was hotter than motherfucking fish grease when that bitch went into black speech.
Hey, Tracy.
Blackface radio. That's what it was. The shit.
Blackface radio.
Hey, how's the sports injury? Have you gotten over that?
Okay, well, here's what. So I have arthritis in both feet.
Oh, well, we all do after a certain age.
And well, I'm glad to, you know, the good news is that I found out about it. And so I got a cortisone shot in my left toe, my right big toe. I was supposed to get one in my right, in my left. And I'm like, fuck that. Because that's the right toe hurts so bad. I mean, I feel better, but it's still, I'm like, the injection site, I almost kicked my doctor in the face. I'm like, bitch, what? So that shit hurt like a motherfucker. So
didn't he numb it?
Yeah, he numbed it, but the shit, it didn't matter. Have you seen the size of a needle when they give you a cortisone shot? And the bitch was right in my toe. Fuck.
You can't look at it, Tracy. That's the key.
I didn't look at it. I still felt the shit. It didn't matter. The shit is painful and it's thick. And I wanted to cut a motherfucker. So I took it upon myself, because my left foot still hurts, but it doesn't hurt as bad as it did. So I actually have an appointment next Friday with a sports foot and ankle doctor, sports medicine doctor, specialist. So I'm going to see him. And I started physical therapy on Tuesday, which is helping tremendously. You know, my range of motion has gotten better in my feet. And plus with the swimming and the bike riding, I'm still running. I still did a 5K on last Saturday in Vegas. I did a Saturday and Sunday morning. I got up and ran 2 miles on the treadmill. And so I'm still running. And I mean, Nothing was broken.
Hey, Tracy.
My doctor said I could still do this stuff.
Hey, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question from Greg out in the community. Greg says, mm-hmm. please ask Tracy what she thinks about Stephanie Miller's ad on Free Speech TV where she says about frightening Frangela, my backup from my blackup. I think it's condescending, Greg says. Grr.
What?
I think that we already asked there, Bob.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Excuse me, what she said? My backup to my blackup?
I know exactly.
My backup from my blackup.
Yeah, it's a fundraising commercial. Yeah, and that's what she says. Can I hear it from, I think she says, can I hear it from my backup and my blackup? And then Frangela rings in, yeah, we're right here, or something like that.
I can't stand those two. I cannot stand those two.
Well, see, I haven't heard Frangela. Back to K-Talk, they used to have on Saturdays, because I used to call into them too. They used to have their own segments. Sometimes they used to fill in for Stephanie, but then again, they used to have their own segment on K-Talk on like Saturday mornings and stuff like that. And I used to listen to them as well. They're my bitches, but not if they're cooning. Not if they're the Progressive Diamond and Silk. If they have the, because again, I haven't listened to them in a while. So if they have devolved into the, you know, if they co-signed with Old Girl, because obviously something is happening that she felt comfortable enough to invoke, that she has gotten permission from DeFrangela Duel to, you know, do black, like I said, blackface radio. That is what I'm going to put on the tweet.
Oh, remember, Stephanie Miller thinks Hillary Clinton is progressive.
You know, blackface.
Oh, she was all over Hillary in the lead up to 2016 election. Always she was all in the tank for her.
She's always on Bernie.
Yeah, because like I said, anybody that I want, if anybody gets a chance, because I don't know if you have to pay to listen to her show. But I think if you go onto the KPFK archives,
Free Speech TV, Tracy. She's on Free Speech TV.
Okay, so, but I want people, because it was I don't know how her show works on K, I don't know if she's on for an hour or 2 hours on KPFK.
No, I'm not three sure.
She's three on hours. For 3 hours on KPFK?
Well, on Free Speech TV, she is. Her show's 3 hours.
I know her show is 3 hours. It's like Tom Hartman, but out here on KPFK, because I'm listening to her on the radio. On KPFK, is only we, like Tom Hartman, we only get an hour.
And that's so, it?
Yeah, the first hour.
I don't know which hour of the show that. So, Chris, did you watch the whole 3 hours today of the show?
Yes, I did. And I heard what you were talking about.
What hour was that when she went into I'm gonna play an HNIC.
Yeah, I think that was the first hour because Malcolm Nance was on the second hour. I think it was the first hour.
Because she's on the West Coast. What time does she start?
Well, she's LA. She's near you.
Yeah, she's 6 o'clock in the. I guess on KPFK, I guess we get the first hour.
Yeah, that must be. That must be.
We only get her for, you know, she's only on, like I said, I believe she's only on for an hour out here on the West, on KPFK, because, like I said, we get Stephanie Miller. Like I said, I know the show ends at seven. I don't know if it starts at six, but I know it ends at seven because my girl, Margaret Prescott, is on at seven. So, and then, you know, so we get white woman, then we get a burst of color, and we used to have Kahakar, I can't, another woman of color that came on at the Margaret Prescott. They didn't get rid of her, they just moved her later in the day and put on another white woman on Democracy Now. And
oh, yeah, Amy Goodman, yeah.
So we get a burst of color at 7 in the morning, and then we get Amy Goodman at 8 o'clock, and then we get Tom Hartman at 9 o'clock, and then it's white, and then we throw in some more color later on in the day. So it's, you know, white, you know. So, like I said, the level of being, you know, so I want anybody, because I'm like, I'm not overreacting, because I'm like, I can't.
No, you're not.
Because I do not, nobody, and this is when my, and I am quick to correct the very few white friends, and I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking about the white friends that I actually physically have in my presence. I have maybe, not many, because
yeah, IRL.
I can't handle my blackness. Because they can't, because I call them on their shit. And so when I'm in, because I get very angry black women, and the South Central does rise up in me on occasion. But when my white friends try to devolve into black speak, I'm like, stop, because that's not how you speak. That is not how we normally converse. So even if I do go there, you do not, I repeat, you do not have permission to go there, because that is not how we normally, we do not communicate in that manner. And how dare you think this okay? Do not, do not, do not, do not. So yeah.
Tracy, can I circle back to what you said about Bob getting paid and if, you know, the for-profit media and all that? Is everybody as sick and tired of I am of seeing Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer's shiny, honey, porcelain white asses on the television set?
Every motherfucking day.
Well, it's
goddamn hour.
It is, there's an aspect of the Bloomberg ads that just make me want to eat dirt and run rabbits.
Which part? There's so many.
It's the part where he said where the announcer voice, the voiceover says, Michael Bloomberg took on Big Coal and won.
Oh, yeah, and won.
And won.
How did he win? Don't we still, are we still doing, aren't we still doing with Big Coal, motherfucker?
Well, I mean, you know, we are still blowing up mountains. I mean, somewhere down my timeline, there's video, there's drone footage video, and it's quite dramatic. The drone operator at Coal River Mountain Watch, I guess, I don't know. But somebody got drone footage of a blast going off on a mountaintop removal site from above.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah. And when, you know, when Michael Bloomberg says, or when Michael Bloomberg took on the coal industry and won, you know, bullshit. Oh, no, he didn't. It's still going on. People are still dying. People are still being poisoned. Mike Bloomberg didn't beat shit.
So, you know who runs that drone for Coal River Mountain Watch, don't you?
Who?
The guy that it's always has done the videos, walk something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that he shot it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but he runs. I've seen him. I know
the person, but I do not know that he shot that for certain.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why I phrased it the way I did.
Oh, is he? Because I get them mixed up because you know just another old you know AOB another old billionaire. I get them mixed up. Now is it Bloomberg that's claiming that you know about you know Medicaid and stuff or you know medical insurance? Well, those who like their insurance can keep it. Motherfucker, I don't know anybody that's enjoying the paying $1,000 deductible.
That's Biden.
Oh, no, that's Biden, Bloomberg, Mayor Pete, Amy Klobuchar. That's everybody. That's everybody but Elizabeth Warren and Bernie.
And Bernie Sanders.
Tracy,
they actually go out and talk to union people that tell them it sucks.
Somebody said my name, what?
Oh, I said, Tracy, you didn't send a Christmas card to Kaiser?
Well, see, here's the deal. Your girl got, I have Medicare because I'm disabled. Mm. So I have Medi-Medi because I am disabled and because I have a certain income level, I have Medi-Medi. And so, you know, they have been after me for years because I have the creme de la creme because what Medicare doesn't pay for, Medi-Cal does. So that 80-20 Medi-Cal picks up the other 20%. So
you better be careful. Drones will catch you doing a 5K.
My disability nice is joke. Mental. It's not physical. So, no, I could do as many fucking 5Ks as I want. Ha, that part. So, but anywho, so they're trying to get me to join one of those fucked up advantage, you know, plans. Where, oh, you can, you know, if you join us, you get dental and vision and woo-doo-woo-woo-doo-you. But then I'm in a fucking network. And then you could tell me who I can, you know, when I could go to the doctor, what doctor I can go to, and all this other bullshit. See, right now, I can go anywhere I want. For example, if I went into one of those managed healthcare plans or whatever, I couldn't go to physical therapy.
Mm.
I couldn't, you know, because they don't take those managed care health plans, don't do physical therapy and all this other stuff. So no, you know, Kaiser, you know, they're like, oh, you can go, you could get Kaiser, you can get Blue Cross, Blue Cross is about as effective as Blue Balls.
Ouch. 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 Hey, we have entered the, yes, absolutely. We have entered the third hour of the program.
I found this on the web.
Well, I don't care. Tell Siri to fuck
That's
off.
That's so funny because it just said something about Blue Balls on my phone on Siri.
But anyway, we have entered the third hour of the program, and we've got $380 to go on fundraising. That means we've raised $180 this evening. And I'm not kidding when I say that we really, really, really need to keep even with all of this. I'm sorry. I wish I was independently wealthy. I am not. And I really want to be on the air on Monday. And, you know, the thing is, I was over on the side, I was teching with Brother Deacon Ace. He says, you know, it's probably just a power supply in the streaming PC. And it may be. But here's my reality. So I take, let's say I'm really, really good, and I take 30 minutes and I pull the power supply out of the streaming PC. And then I take my happy ass an hour to Beckley, and I go to Staples, and they've actually got a power supply that'll work for me, and I buy it, and I come home, and I spend an hour installing it, and then it's not the power supply. So we boxed this power supply back up because it wasn't the power supply. And back to Staples I go. That's another 2 hours. And I say, maybe it's the RAM. Or maybe it's the solid state drive. Or maybe it's the CPU. And by the time that I've got all the time and energy of diagnosing exactly what the fucking problem is, I've wound up spending as much time and energy and money as it would have taken just to go over to fucking Walmart and buy a shitty little desktop. So, but shitty little desktops are not free even at Walmart. And I can't order anything in because that means I won't be on air Monday. I mean, it is truly a pain in the ass running a shoestring operation. But that's where we are. So it would be great if we could knock out that other $380.
Well, I just, okay.
And no, Tracy, that's not me leaning on anybody.
No, because I was going to do one. I was going to do one, and this is the name of the challenge. My wife bought a car, and I didn't know $25 challenge.
Beautiful.
I just pulled it to the drive. I mean, I didn't know she has been talking about buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, oh, I'm just going to go look. And then I went, you know, my swim. I got out the pool this afternoon. I looked down at my phone. There's a text. I bought a car. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we are now the proud owners of a 2019 Subaru Outback. Yes, the official car of lesbians everywhere.
And hipsters, don't leave out the hipsters.
So it's fully loaded, and she got a really good deal on it because it has, like, it was a loaner car or whatever. So it's 6,000 miles on it. So this is a $25. My wife bought a new car. It didn't tell me that she was buying a new car challenge. Yeah, that part.
All right. So Tracy's my wife bought a new car and didn't tell me she was buying a new car challenge. It's on the table to the tune of $25, and that will get us. That'll get us down to $330 if somebody will match up.
Come
okay,
on, y'all.
But wait, I gotta be shallow. I gotta be shallow, Tracy.
What?
What color is it?
Oh God, it's white.
My wife
bought a white goddamn car.
You know what? I would like to think you would buy a white car in Southern California where it gets 100 fucking degrees. Because that white paint will be enough. That's good for good. That's good for a good 5-10 degrees when that thing's sitting in the sun.
I know. Well, on that note, I'm gonna go look at our new card. So $25 chance. I love y'all, and I'll talk to you.
Have a lovely weekend.
See you, Tracy.
And by the way, I got a I had a note from Lady B, and you know, Lady B always brings her A game. I had a note from Lady B at the before the program, and I got off and running before I got around to sharing it. Subject line: my mind's playing tricks on me. Dude, I was listening to Adam Schiff earlier, and he was killing it. If the Senate votes to keep Trump in the face of all this evidence, then we are well and truly, truly fucked. That's what makes it also insane, that he has to fight with the Senate to do their goddamn job. Earlier, Trump was quoted as saying, "I've been around flippers all my life." Who talks like that? That's some fucking mobster-style talk right there. Trump sees himself as a mob boss. Christ, the presidency of the United States is like a fucking cosplay character to him. He's fucking delusional, and we're indulging him? God, it's almost like we've been living in a fantasy all this time, and Trump snapped us back to reality. There's no sense of fairness, decency, and justice anymore. We live in Gotham City without the goddamn Batman. We spend, I'll add editorially, it's also like we live in the nightmare Pottersville of the alternative universe from It's a Wonderful Life. We spend way too much time appeasing the clueless, the selfish, and the la-la-la-la-la, I can't hear you with my fingers in my ears, motherfuckers. We need to nip that pandering in the bud. Let the majority rule in this case. We know better. We know that he's hurting you, and we believe you can do better than him. Let's go ahead and slash his tires and send some prison brothers to give it to him and give him a reason to step down. Then we'll get you drunk, America, and then we'll get all dressed up, call an Uber, and go out and dance till our feet hurt. We'll help you find a president who will respect you for the strong and beautiful entity you are. Lady B adds, concludes saying, "This shit has got this ginger needing a drink before it's even appropriate."
Cheers, Lady B.
Indeed, cheers. Hey, Jack in Shreveport answered Tracy's challenge, so that's awesome. We're down to 3:30. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jack. Okay.
Hey, hello, all. 20.
Pardon?
Oh, put me down for 20, Bob.
Okay, thanks, Chris. That'll get us down to 3:10. Thank you, my friend.
Jeffrey says he'll kick in 20.
Hey, thanks, Giraffe. So that takes us down to 290. Yay. Did I lose everybody? You there?
No, hey, Bob, okay. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I just got home and I had to feed my cat and give him his insulin, so it took me a little bit. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
Okay. Steve,
it's always about the cats. Don't forget that.
It's not about the cat.
In my case, it is. When you have a diabetic cat, it's quite a thing.
Mm. He must be up in years or not, Steve?
Well, I'm not honestly sure because I rescued him, and they think he was 5 when I rescued him. Mm. And I've had him for going on 9 years, so
he's... Oh, geez. Okay, so he's geriatric now. Yeah.
Yeah. And normally he's okay with being poked, but once in a while he gets pissed at me, and then he'll run away. I have an absolutely wonderful roommate who plays with him and takes care, lets him hang out. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
I had an old cat, an old black cat, that we had to give the last 3 years of his life. He lived to be about 19 and a half. Last 3 or 4 years, he had to have like a bag of fluid every day, or actually about three or four times a week. And he would like hide whenever the vet tech would come over to the house to do that. And we had the vet tech do it rather than us because he was too squirmy. I mean, he could just like squeeze out of your hands like nothing, you know?
Yeah, so. Mason's like that too.
Yeah.
Although it's weird. Sometimes I'll just do it and that's it. I mean, the nice thing is it's such a little bit of insulin that you can inject it in a split second. It's not like you need to But I found out firsthand how freaking expensive insulin is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my cat had renal failure. That's why he had to have fluids.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Chronic renal failure. But we prolonged his life, and he had a pretty good life for another, you know, few years or so. So
yeah,
you know, you do what you got to do with
members. Right? Yes. Yeah. So it's insulin twice a day. I had to change his food. I have to. I had to buy a special litter that doesn't soak up his pee, and I'm still trying to figure out how to get him to pee in there because I have to take ketone and glucose measurements. There's one other thing. Food, insulin, ketone. Oh, the litter. That's the fourth thing.
You're quite a devoted owner.
Well, I had to put one down last April, and it was not a fun thing.
No, it never is. It's very sad. Yeah. Yeah. Worst days of your lives, you know, when that happens.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Who's here tonight? I don't see I don't see I see Rick, I see
Joe's here.
Oh, Joe.
Chris is here.
Okay. I'm looking at the little Skype
and,
thing.
This just landed and it's kind of a big deal because it could finish the week off. Let me just interrupt for a moment, please. I just had an anonymous note. I'd like you to announce a $200 anonymous when billionaires choose you lose challenge. And you know, this is the radio program billionaires don't choose. This is the radio program that billionaires don't have a hand in creating or influencing. So I think it's more than appropriate. $200 anonymously when billionaires choose you lose. And you know, when you choose what the billionaires don't choose, you win. So that would wipe out everything for the week. And I can't emphasize how powerful and tremendous that is. So there's 40 minutes left in the program and a chance to finish the week to the good. And then, you know, I get home and we've got radio on Monday. So hopefully that will prove a massive inspiration. And hey, $50 of it has been met.
Thank hey, Bob, you. Do you take Venmo?
Yeah. And thank you very kindly, Bo. Thank you, my brother.
Venmo is better than PayPal because there's no fee.
Well, there is when you transfer it out of Venmo.
But there's no fee if you use PayPal and it goes from your debit, if it's not at your PayPal balance. And it goes from a debit card, they charge a fee there, and then they charge a fee when you transfer it to your bank.
No, no, no. Not this account.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a fee on the front end, but after that, everything's copacetic.
Okay. Because I know Venmo, there's no fee at all other than transferring it to your – it's 1%, I think. Well, it depends. If you do it – instantly, it's 1%. If you don't, then it's nothing.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of folks that use Venmo, and then it's all just a matter of how you move it and where you transfer it and right. But yeah, Venmo.
And truth be told, Venmo is PayPal owns Venmo.
Yeah, they do.
PayPal, you know. I figured there's probably only like 3 or 4 companies in the world, actually.
Yeah, there's several of them, and they're all pretty. I don't know, maybe if there was a Sherman Antitrust Act that we actually enforced, but the fee structures are all pretty much the same. So that's awesome. There's $150 to go on that challenge. Because Bo got us started. Thank you, Bo.
Okay, Bob, I'm sending you, I think I'm doing, is it bob.kincaid@gmail is your Venmo thing?
No.
Okay.
Let me look and see here. Stand by.
I don't mean to be a jerk off. I just want to make sure I get this.
Yeah, I just have to find Venmo on my phone. No, not there. I downloaded a little first-person shooter science fiction game on my phone the other day, started to play it, and I said... It said people with high blood pressure or heart conditions should not play this game. I'm like, whoa. All right, hold on. Where the hell did it go? You know what? I'll just go search it.
By the way, I was listening earlier about talking about who the nominee and what's going to happen in the election. And my hunch is that what's going to happen is we'll probably take the Senate, hold the House, but lose the presidency.
Wow, that'd be nuts.
If you could, that might be more tolerable than some other alternatives, because then you could just gridlock his ass.
Yeah, he couldn't do anything at that point.
Except as far as foreign policy, he could do shit.
The judges would stop.
Yeah, that would stop. Stop that bleeding.
At least, who knows? Chuck Schumer might let him, because he's just that goddamn stupid.
Yeah, stupid.
He just let him through, you think? Oh my God.
He's already done it.
Jesus, I can't. I would love
it. I'll just do PayPal.
That would be so much simpler because for some reason or another, I'm not signed in and I can't remember my password. We've gotten it down to 1:30 to go. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very kindly. That's tremendous.
Hey, I was going to mention, with all of the sophisticated imagery the Democrats have put on, you know, the video clips and audio clips and stuff and all the slides and what have you, I mean, the Republicans must be shitting their pants because they're going to have to come up with some stuff like that, too. And how are they going to do it? I guess they could always doctor the video, right? Maybe that would, you know.
Well, no, that's the thing. I'm trying to work up something called something resembling pity for his legal team, but it keeps turning into something else.
I'm quite comfortable with contempt.
Yeah, the thing is, if you're a lawyer and you have to and you can't present the case that you know you need to present, and instead you have to make the little freak happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up to and including possibly self disbarring. Okay.
Well, they signed on to represent the fucker, Bob. It's their
That's why I said. That's why I said, you know, I try to feel pity for him, but it turns into something else.
Have you seen their desk compared to the
bus kitchen?
It's probably nothing on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
on the proposition.
Yeah, there's
a kitchen more, and there's nothing on their desk.
I mean, they're over there playing. They're over there playing hangman and tic tac toe. Okay, I mean, it's awesome. But, you know, the only thing they can do is mount the Chewbacca defense. I was talking about this last night. You know what the Chewbacca defense is, right?
Enlighten us again, Bob.
It's from an episode of South Park. And let me see if I can find it. And it includes a South Park version of Johnny Cochran.
Oh, jeez.
Here, I think I've got it. I don't know if you guys will be able to hear it.
We were able to hear it last week.
Supposed jury, I have one final thing I want you to consider. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chewbacca. Chewbacca is a Wookiee from the planet Kishyyyk, but Chewbacca lives on the planet Endor. Now think about it. That does not make sense.
Damn it. What? He's using the Chewbacca defense.
Why would a Wookiee, an 8-foot-tall Wookiee, want to live on Endor with a bunch of 2-foot-tall Ewoks?
We heard it, Bob.
That does not make sense.
But more importantly, you have to ask yourself what.
We heard it up to Endor. That was it.
Hmm.
Nothing. Ladies and gentlemen,
hey, Bob.
Nothing to do.
Oops.
Well, what it boils down to is the Chewbacca defense is to go up and throw up some bullshit against the wall and then holler, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And for all intents and purposes, that's all they got. Because and the one thing that bothered me is I heard it announced earlier today that the prosecution in this case will not get what the prosecution always gets. And that is an opportunity to rebut. Because, you know, once they've presented their Chewbacca defense, you can stand up and rebut by saying, well, I guess they've confessed everything else that they didn't address.
Right. Right.
Because, I mean, it's unassailable. There's no way to say what these sworn witnesses are saying didn't happen, because they don't want any witnesses called. The only way they could do it would be to call Trump as a witness, swear him in, and have him say, no, no, everybody there, they're lying. They didn't tell you. Okay? And Trump was complaining earlier via Twitter that they're in Death Valley. They're going to have to present their case on Saturday. That's Death Valley in TV terms.
Oh, jeez.
You know, he's sitting there worrying about the goddamn ratings.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. And hey,
Bob.
I got just one thing. I got to get out some more thanks.
Bob,
thank you.
I did the 25 challenge match, and then I put an extra 10 on the anonymous challenge on the table.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's see. We were at 130 to go. That takes us down to 105. No. Yeah. 110. Steven. Thank you, Steven.
Jeffrey hit the 25 instead of the 20, so you got 5 more.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. And thank you to Petra, who just took us down to 75. And there's Steve, so that's 65. And Jeffrey, $40 to go to meet the challenge.
We're working on an FOTFP miracle.
Yes, this would be a Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. Be wonderful. And I want to share something with you. Bo said a minute ago, and it touches me deeply. We should not stop at Bob's minimal goal. We need to fund this show to be the best it can be. That's how we organize and grow the truth. And when Bo talks about how we organize, well, you're hearing from somebody who knows how to organize. That's a man who's gotten 20,000 people to DC. So I can't thank him enough for those words. And
hey, Bob,
yeah.
Pause for a Bloomberg commercial. We have a Bloomberg commercial.
What?
We have a Bloomberg commercial right now.
Oh, beautiful.
I got a shout out to do.
Has he defeated the coal industry some more there?
I have the sound. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
I don't know what the fuck that little hobbit's doing. Okay, shout out.
Bob, I want to give a shout out to my old Utapau, Thailand roommate who is listening to the show. I'm talking to him on Facebook.
Oh, how awesome.
Yeah, how awesome.
Obviously not listening from Utapau, but any idea where?
No, Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Bradenton, Florida.
All right, Florida's in the house.
Hey, can I say something about what you guys were talking about earlier on who the nominee? I mean, I'm curious what people think. Bernie is my preference.
Me too.
My worry is I can see the commercials where they show the old Soviet parades through Red Square on May Day and his face with Lenin and Marx and Engels.
Oh, Steve, that's just the tip of the iceberg. The photo that's really going to be awesome when it runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can't get away from it on TV. And if you go to social media, you'll see it again. And if you leave outside, it'll be on a goddamn billboard, is the picture of him sitting in his tidy whiteys drinking with a bunch of Russians.
Or with Fidel, maybe, huh?
Fidel. I was going to say that.
No. That photo really exists. Bernie Sanders, nothing but his BVDs. It's a dark room, and he's sitting there toasting a bunch of commies. Now, I can't do anything but deal with the facts.
Was that during his honeymoon in St. Petersburg?
Yeah, I think so, Sparky. I think so.
Good call, Sparky.
But the opposition research on Bernie is huge. And, I mean, let me be fair, the opposition research on every one of them is huge because they're the fucking Republican Party. And they don't take off years. They work this shit constantly. So they've got an opposition research notebook on Amy Klobuchar. They've got one on every single candidate, up to and including the precious Tulsi.
Let me tell you what I would love to see a commercial featuring Trump is that I don't know if anybody has ever seen that creepy photo of Ivanka sitting on his lap.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see that and somehow morphing into Jeffrey Epstein.
Ooh.
Oh, that would be that would be worthy of what? Steve Schmidt, isn't he the one who slimed Max Cleland?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Steve Schmidt.
The photo by itself, and it's not just, are you talking about the one with the concrete statuary involved where he's got her on his lap in front of a statue of two parrots fucking?
I don't remember.
I think he's got a white suit on.
Well, all I remember is she's got like her hand cupped around his chin.
Ugh.
Well, there is the other one where he's got her plopped on his lap in front of, and it's an outdoor photo, and in front of him is a statue of a pair of parrots having sex.
Well, we've got two now.
Yeah, I love that idea, Steve. That's terrific. I want advertisements with him cropped up with Moore, right? Pedophile Moore and Duncan Hunter and all the critters, you know, and he's tie them all to Trump.
That was probably Putin's parrot.
Jesus. All right, a little one for that one, Joe.
All right, Joe, you're on the scoreboard, man.
Yeah. Hey, can I pose? I know we're getting towards the end, and I should have been here earlier. I just couldn't get here. Pose the question that I posed the other night about.
Absolutely. Let me thank Reggie for jumping in. That takes us down to 50. So we're very, very close.
Cool. So that was my question was. Given what the Constitution says that the House has the sole power of impeachment, are the senators permitted to pass on whether or not something is impeachable? Or once the House impeaches, is that a settled question? And they're only legally permissible to say guilty or not guilty.
That's my understanding, Steve.
I think it's the latter, Steve.
Uh-huh. I mean, impeachment is solely the province of the House. If the House impeaches you, you are impeached.
And you go to a trial in the Senate.
And the only thing the Senate can do is convict or acquit.
And you could be impeached more than once. And I think,
Bill Clinton was impeached. He was acquitted in the Senate, but he remains an impeached president, as does Andrew Johnson.
What were the charges against Clinton?
Perjury.
Among other things, yeah.
Well, I mean, let me answer that question then. Is there any doubt that he committed perjury?
No.
Who, Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's doubt that he committed perjury.
Oh,
well, it depends upon what the meaning of is, Steve. Don't you know that?
Well, that one just had to come out. But there's perjury and there's perjury. Because the perjury was alleged to have come from his denial of having sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky, in a civil deposition. Okay. And there was a finding that he was not forthcoming with the tribunal, or that he gave false information to the tribunal, but it was a civil setting and he was never, ever prosecuted.
Okay.
Now, he voluntarily surrendered his law license because of a bar action against him. But
I do remember that.
So the only issue is whether suppose a court would have found it perjurious.
Well, I mean, a court found something of the law of the something of the sort in a civil setting. But they did not. But there was no conviction. And of course, we all know, or at least the lawyers and many people know, that there's a big damn difference between the burden of proof in a civil setting and a burden of proof in a criminal setting.
Well, and I'm just trying to understand what the impeachment charge was. If the impeachment, what they said he committed perjury, did they make a civil versus criminal distinction?
I don't have the bill of impeachment in front of me, but
I remember them talking a lot about lying to the American people.
Yes.
When he went on TV and he, you know, addressed the nation.
I did not have sex with that woman,
Miss Lewinsky.
And that was the impeachable offense, was lying to the American people about it, which of course is not a court of law, but it's still impeachable. I mean, we all know this. You can be impeached for using the same knife in the jelly jar as the peanut butter jar. You know,
and they called that abuse of power. Right? Didn't they? They called that abuse of power.
But what I'm getting at is, if we apply what we've just said about who has the sole power of impeachment, and all the Senate could do was pass on whether or not he was guilty in the non-trial Senate trial impeachment sense, should he have been removed from office?
Well, the only people who can answer that are 2/3 of the Senate.
And if you can, it's not 2/3 of the whole Senate, it's 2/3 of the senators present.
Yeah,
right. that's
and, if,
good
and if you can't, if you can't, if you can't meet that 2/3 threshold, then he is acquitted,
I understand that. All I'm saying is if we are saying that whether or not something is impeachable, the senators cannot pass. They have to assume that that's a settled question once it reaches that Senate. If in fact he did, you know, if I don't remember if one of the charges was lying to the American people. I mean, was that one of the charges?
I'm looking it up right now.
Again, according
to Wikipedia, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. The specific charges against Clinton were lying under oath and obstruction of justice. And they stemmed from a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Clinton by Paula Jones from Clinton's testimony denying that he had engaged in a sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Okay. So lying under oath and obstruction of justice.
And if we assume that once the House impeached him for lying under oath, and in fact we know he did, should they have convicted him?
it's up to the Senate to determine.
I'm not asking that.
We're kind of going in circles.
I'm asking consistent with what my question was, whether or not the Senate can pass on whether something's impeachable when it has come there. Bob made the comment, and I tend to agree that all the Senate can do at that point is say guilty or not guilty. They don't have a right to pass on whether it was impeachable.
No, they don't. No. That's not their prerogative.
No, that is solely the province of the House. The determination of what is or is not an impeachable offense is solely the province of the House. And Newt Gingrich has said it. Lindsey Graham has said it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes all the way back to the framers.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, no, but what he will demand is that the senators, upon acquitting him, declare that he is no longer an impeached president. And no, Fox that News will – Fox News – no, it is not objectively true, but it will be made into – and we haven't heard this phrase in a while – it will become an alternative fact.
Thank you, Kellyanne.
Yes, exactly.
But again, does she have a wax museum
she has to go back to at night? Where the fuck does she –
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, I feel sorry for the owners of the wax museum.
I think she gets
out of them every time she comes back to them.
I think she goes to bed in a box with a little bit of dirt from the home country. we're being checked. Lady B with a note. I hate to be all sanctimonious on y'all, but photoshopping pictures implying that Trump is a pedophile, even if he is, doing things like that, that's what Republicans did. Yeah, they won the battle, but this is a war. Shit like that is helping destroy us as a country. I don't know how we can do this and keep everything above board. I mean, sometimes you have to cheat to win at chess, but we got to do better than that, guys. We can't fake things. Let the truth stand on its own. It will do more than enough damage if we can get it into the right media. And the thing is,
I just want to attach Roy Moore to Trump. I want to attach Duncan,
you mean Jeffrey
Hunter
Epstein?
Yeah. Trump. Yeah. They're inseparable. That's what I mean.
Yeah. But the thing is, for every picture of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein, there's a photograph of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, but he's not running.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You'll notice that the Clinton impeachment has been mentioned only sparingly in these proceedings, and they've certainly not challenged the grounds upon which it happened.
But let me, I'll just pose this one last time, then I'll shut up. But you see what I'm saying? If we say that impeachment is a settled question, and I don't think there's any doubt that Clinton lied under oath. So how do we, should he have been removed? I don't see how the answer could be no.
It's a policy decision. Is it sufficiently, you know, weighty or important that this president needs to go and he basically overrule the will of the people or the election, the results of the election?
So again, it
becomes a political question, Steve. As far as the merits, it's all about power politics.
Once you get your removal trials. I understand that's what the reality is.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is,
In an ideal world, he should have been removed. Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. I don't quite. If in fact it was impeachable, and if we've said that the only thing that the Senate can do is say whether or not he did it or didn't do it, and we know that he did it, he should have been removed. And I mean, can we not also call that jury nullification? I'm not saying
it was. It was jury nullification. Okay. Same thing with Andrew Johnson, although there were some issues there as to the legality and constitutionality
there was some bribery involved too with Andrew Johnson. Back then they called it patronage.
There you go.
Sounds like Steve, I'm trying to build
the check cleared, in other words, right, Bob?
Oh yes.
I'm trying to build an analogy for Steve here, and the only thing I can think of is, you know, the grand jury, you know, you present, the prosecutor presents evidence to the grand jury. Is there enough evidence to indict, right? Can it go on to a trial?
All right. Then you go on to the trial. The jury then can't come back and say that what the grand jury did as far as indicting was insufficient, and this person should have never been indicted in the first place. The grand jury did a shit job. The jury can't really do that. All they can do is acquit, right? Is that
find
is
guilty? No, well, we're fine guilt.
Okay, okay, right. then let's extend the metaphor, because I mean, let's just go for the whole Excedrin headache. What if you go into places where the Constitution is silent? For instance, in the criminal law, we have the concept of expungement, in which a court of competent jurisdiction can say that a crime charged and even convicted never happened. Yeah. It disappears from the record. What if the Baggots decide that having acquitted Donald Trump, they're going to expunge the impeachment?
Now what's not in the Constitution.
What's the mechanism for expungement? At least with regard to expungement, specific statutes that govern.
No, but it's whatever Mitch McConnell decides it is.
Oh God!
I guess he could pass a bill in the Senate to that effect, but then
no,
a resolution.
The legislation has to originate in the House.
Not necessarily.
No, it doesn't.
Huh? Not necessarily.
No.
No.
Not that kind of thing. Only if it relates to budgetary matters, tax matters, that kind of thing.
Oh.
But here's the deal.
Impeachment.
Here's the deal. An expungement is only valuable if nobody else knows. I mean, think of it this way. If you remember, there was the case, this was probably back in the 70s or 80s, where there was this daycare center where some people accused the teachers there of molesting all these children.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out that they were not guilty. In fact, I think it even upon further investigation that it was they were innocent, because you had psychologists and planting these things in kids' heads.
The phony recovered memories from hypnosis.
Right.
I think it was the McMartin preschool.
Yes,
exactly. Now, here's the deal. You can expunge, you can say they're innocent all you want to, but there are certain things that once everyone knows, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, really.
It doesn't matter. You know, there are certain things, and you know this, Bob, once you're accused, and if everyone knows about it, I don't care, you could be found, you know, Jesus Christ himself could come down and say you didn't do it, and people be like, people are always going to,
they remember the charge. They remember the initial charge and the initial scandalous allegation.
Absolutely. I mean, they can expunge Trump's impeachment all they want to, but the fact of the matter is this: it's on a billboard for all of history and for all of posterity to see.
For at least the next 10 years that we have.
But
right?
Remember, please remember, there's an audience of one. and the MAGA they'll just say, Mr. President, you wasn't really impeached because we acquitted you. And so then he'll go out and say, you know, Shifty Schiff, he tried to impeach me, but he failed. He lost in the Senate, and so I never was impeached. Your president has not been impeached. I'm unimpeachable.
Repeat the lie.
And then they impeach him again.
I don't even like peaches. I prefer bananas.
Oh, where's the cowbell, Bob?
But somebody has to peel them for me because my hands are very tiny.
Well, who was the guy that exonerated? He said, well, I got off, you know, I'm not guilty, but where do I go to get my reputation back? Who was that, the famous quote by somebody? I can't remember who said that.
That's a famous one. I don't know who said it.
Okay, y'all, we have 7 minutes to the end of the program and $50 to go. There's $200 riding on $50 coming in the next 7 minutes. So,
oh, hey, since you brought King Henry II back to life, Bob, I'll kick in the last 50 there off the King Henry II.
In honor of Henry Henry Fitzpatrick, first Plantagenet, a king at 21. the ablest soldier of an able time. He led men well, cared for justice, and ruled for 30 years, a state as great as Charlemagne's. Okay, you got that? Then that's awesome. Then the challenge is met. And the Friday on the Front Porch miracle has transpired. Let the choir sing, and hallelujah.
Let the congregation say amen.
And let the congregation say amen. Yes, yes, Brother Steve, yes.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that word.
A Church of Bob. Yay.
The Cathedral of Common Sense.
There was much rejoicing.
Yay. And that's for Terry Jones.
Yep.
There you go.
And there was much rejoicing. Yay. I told him we've already got one.
Remember that.
Have you talked about Marsha Blackburn tonight at all?
No, just last night. Except for the fact that you renamed her, I did mention that.
Oh, once in a while I have little flashes of genius, and I saw that, and I thought, oh, Marsha Tella Blackburn.
Yeah, it just wrote itself. Sometimes they do.
Yeah, it just was like, oh. Thank you there.
It hurts me so much to think that she won an election in this country. It's just painful. It's just so painful.
Well, I know one person in Tennessee that didn't vote for her.
Charlie, right?
No, my sister.
Yeah, I was going to say your sister. Well, see, the thing is, it was Bredesen's to lose until he decided to inject himself into, what was it, the... was it the Roy Tola Moore controversy? It was the Brett Kavanaugh controversy. And he said, well, if I was a member of the Senate, I'd vote to confirm him. And he running as a Democrat. And so all the progressive energy that he had went right down the toilet. And so you get Marsha Blackburn, who incidentally, remember, is cronies and pals with that dude in Tennessee that was instrumental in going over and playing footsie with the NRA in Russia. And that scam about creating a Russian NRA and a Russian Second Amendment. And then, of course, the pipeline opens and the money flows out of Russia through the National Ruble Association and into the coffers of people like Marsha Blackburn and Precious Lindsay. And of course, then there's the Russian oligarch who exchanges political patronage for an aluminum smelter in Kentucky with, Moscow Mitch.
And the cycle of life, Republican life or death.
That's why they all need to be investigated.
Oh, God. Now I've got this image in my mind from the beginning of The Lion King with, Steve Bannon holding up a little baby Trump over the, what I'm talking
about.
Have you seen the newest newest movie of that?
No.
Oh, my goodness. The computer generation on that thing is fantastic.
I grew up watching the original one with my kids. I don't know if I could handle the new one. That's like, are they going to do the Little Mermaid the same way?
I don't know.
Because our favorite line in our family, our favorite line from the original Little Mermaid animation is, what's his name? Isn't it Sebastian the Crab? And Ariel's about to get herself into some deep shit. And he looks at her and says, what's your father going to say? Your father going to say, I'm going to kill me a crab. That's what your father going to say. You know.
But that weird looking bird that follows
Simba.
Young one around. Voice was done by John Oliver.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of birds, I observed a strange natural phenomenon last Sunday. I was outside the theater. We were getting ready to close the play. And flying due north from the river over downtown Florence was what had to be hundreds of buzzards. You know, carrion.
Yeah.
Buzzards.
In Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, there were so many of them. The first thing I thought of was the scene in The Wizard of Oz where you see the flying monkeys. You know,
flying monkeys.
Yeah. It was creepy as hell.
It makes you wonder what kind of carcasses they were going after.
Right. I mean, you don't send that many buzzards. That many buzzards don't show up for like a deer.
Well, I know what they were. Where they were going.
Where?
They were going to feast on the Republic.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of vultures, Bob.
Yeah.
I got three turkey vultures roosting in the tree across the street.
Ew.
There's no leaves, so you can see them. One just flew in.
Oh man! So if you've ever walked,
you conjured them.
I'm magic that way. If you've ever been out in the woods and you've walked up on a buzzard's roost, Jesus God, the stinkingest, nastiest thing.
Now there's a bunch of magpies coming to the tree.
Wow.
Oh wait, there's a fourth buzzard.
Bob, do you have your purple cape on and your applique hat?
No, I got nothing in this. I'm not. No, I'm not in this one.
If a fifth one shows up, I'm gonna. But I've seen groups of 20 of them circling out my back path.
Well, I mean, and for a few minutes there, I was just standing there before I had to go in and get into costume and stuff. I counted them for a little while, and I got past 100.
Wow. Oh my God.
And they were still specks on the horizon coming toward me. Wow. And they were flying on over downtown and kept going, and they were flying due north.
Hmm.
Because the Tennessee River runs more or less east-west at that part of the river. And so, you know, straight north. No idea.
Maybe a big fish die off, huh?
But then why were they? It was too early. It was, you know, 12:30 in the afternoon, so it was too early for them to be going to their roost. Because you'll see that sometimes, you know, toward the end of the day, they'll go to their roost. I don't know. I think they were going to lunch. It's just the thought of what lunch was.
What I do know is that people are freaking out here in the Northwest about the salmon. The water's too warm. It's just too warm, and the salmon can't make it back and forth from the Pacific Ocean up through the Columbia and through, you know, through the Clackamas and stuff. And it's,
in Alaska, they're dying too. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got a mess on our hands.
No doubt.
But we got Trumpy.
I haven't heard anything about the winter run here.
Darlene's asking me, are you sure they were turkey buzzards? I mean, you know, they're the kinds you sit on. They're the birds you see on the side of the road sitting there eating a skunk.
Ugh.
That's been run over. And that's what made this so weird. It's like something got them going. Oh, what a lovely way to end the program. So that would mean, I'm sure.
There goes dinner in my time.
Yeah, turkey buzzards have done a number on dinner in the Pacific time zone. Sorry, y'all.
I don't eat that early, Bob. That's okay. My dinner's still safe.
But thank you one and all for the community made miracle. That's a huge help. Heading home. And hopefully, you know, I'll find out what the hell's wrong with the studio and get that sorted. Yeah, there had been a good bit of rain. More buzzard. Welcome to Buzzard Talk. You know, there's thousands of podcasts and oodles of live broadcasts, and we're probably the only ones talking buzzards this evening. But to me, it's kind of natural because we've been talking about Trump. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, have you had a bunch of rain down there? Apparently buzzards congregate when there's puddles of water on the ground. Well, but I mean, this is a well-watered area, and they were flying from the river toward the north. I mean,
or if there's lots of rubles on the ground as well, Bob, they congregate then as well.
Ah, wait a minute. All right, a last cowbell to close out the week. Thanks, everybody. And thanks to all of you who jumped in on the Horn Family Community Congregation Community Made Miracle to finish the week on schedule so there's no great big fundraising hole come Monday. That's magnificent. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program however you so choose to do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky for moderating the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable discussion in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, the point of the spear. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.